Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
How about him?
Hello.
Yeah. How about him?
Mm-hmm.
His name is Smoot. Wendell Smoot Hall.
He's the man.
His name is Smoot. His name is Smoot.
He will fascinate you.
Moments ago, Mike.
Yes.
Moments ago, all of our brand new circa 1992 computers recently installed. Wendell, would that be what happened with the system?
They got effed.
It was a system crash.
Technical.
Wow. It was a system crash.
System crash. System crash.
They got everything to run through the computer now, and the computer was like your computer at home.
Yes.
Was just giving you the little icons, but you were clicking and pointing, and it was not working.
The funny thing on this multi-million-dollar radio station with these, you know, spiffy touchscreen color LCD monitors and stuff.
Yes, sir.
We were running the trial version.
The trial version.
Wow. Trial version, yeah, sir.
It expired.
Time up. So
he
can go in the back now and go to the trial version.
It's not working. It's not working. It's not adequate. Trial version. What is that in your locker, private? Trial version, sir.
It's a trial version. If anyone would like to come down to the parking lot, I will squeal my tire wheels.
Winner.
With my MG.
So your point is that the software that we have, that we're running for this new computerized system, is already outdated?
Well, there's that, and also it had never, the actual version had never been installed. It was just the trial version. They wouldn't give us the license codes.
So in other words,
I guess they were waiting for the check to clear. I don't know
what it is. Basically, is if you're having something like a demo tape.
Winner.
Yes, I understand. Putting on a demo tape
Yeah, if it was a jingle demo, you'd hear Shannon every 30 seconds in the middle of your weather bed.
That's right.
It's Wendell Hall, everybody. Anyway, he's the man. Having said all that, Wendell, how did you fix it? You're the man that did it. How did you do it?
Called Canada.
They have the answer. Canada solved our problem today?
Yeah.
Again.
Canada caused the problem today.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand any of this. All I know is that the computers had totally shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Wendell came over, clicked some stuff, then said something about Canada. I know that it was like 5 minutes before we were going to go on the air, and nothing was working.
Well,
and
it's fixed now, though.
Anyway, he got it done.
Winner!
Cool. And what we're running is basically just a test of whatever software it is that we need.
Yeah, if we don't like it, we're going to send it back.
I like your sarcasm. I get your sarcasm, okay?
There you go.
The button-down mind of Wendell Hall.
So we're ready for another great week of radio.
I get jokes. Thank you, Wendell. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wendell. I sincerely appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. And Wendell, when do you start your commercials for the hair restoration place? When do you start your commercials?
Maybe when I finish pulling it out.
When do you start? Soon?
As soon as the rest of it falls out, yeah.
Winner! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Wendell Hall reporting for duty, sir!
Very exciting!
Hello.
Hello there. How are you, Mrs. Shannon?
Mr. Grossdale, how was your weekend?
It was exquisite, Mr. Shannon. I enjoyed every single moment of it.
I spent my weekend at Times Square in New York City outside the windows of TRL.
Did you really?
Looking for someone, anyone. Hello. Hello. This is Scott Shannon.
Is that a groaner?
No. That's a Scott Shannon aside.
It's
what I did this weekend. It's what DJs do.
Very exciting, Mr. Shannon.
You go to the hot spot, and wherever it is, that's it. You're there.
So very exciting, Mr. Shannon. I can't tell you.
Is that your phone?
Yes, it is. I'm turning it off right now.
It's still in character.
He's very popular.
I am. I'm turning it off.
What is it? Miss Hathaway.
Miss Hathaway, what is this newfangled technology? Phones without cords? I simply don't understand.
I can help you there.
Oh.
Do you recall Star Trek?
Yes, I do. Fabulous program in the early 70s.
Do you remember how they would talk into their little flip communicators?
Is it similar technology?
It is.
Well, you know who won't understand this one little bit?
Who?
Granny. Granny won't have any idea what she's doing with this. Granny will be completely confused, so will Jethro and Jed. Mr. Shannon.
What 70s folk rock trio always ate Jell-O pudding?
Which one, Mr. Shannon?
Cosby, Stills, and Nash.
Wow.
And once again, I'm almost driven completely out of character.
What English group from the 80s sends out junk email?
Which one is that?
Spandau Ballet. I'm Scott Shannon, everyone. As I mentioned, unscripted, yeah. I spent the weekend at TRL with my face against the window saying, Carson Daly, where are you?
Fascinating.
Because I'm a disc jockey.
I know you're a DJ.
And you are a millionaire banker.
I'm a millionaire banker that likes to keep Jed Clampett's money right where it belongs in the Beverly Hills Savings and Loan.
And I'm an aging rock pioneer who's had many, many extreme makeovers.
Very, very exciting history.
What 70s art rock trio also worked in the funeral business?
Which one would that be, Mr. Shannon?
Emerson, Lake, and Embalmer.
Hey, now.
Don and Mike Show.
Okay, now we're rolling.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right, we are. And there you go. Julia.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Oh,
and the Robbie
Jack. True story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Digital, baby. Digital.
Baby.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Flame. And all the money in the sea.
Winner.
John Terry's personal pitching coaches, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. He throws like a girl.
Yeah, he did.
And let me say hi. Thank you for listening to this edition of Don and Mike Show on this Monday. Yeah, Monday 07-26-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, bud. Yep, it's a new episode on Monday, July 26, 20-04. Mm-hmm. Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C. on WJFK-FM. Please call 202-432-1067. Okay, hope you had a good weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I did. In some small way, I believe I did have a good weekend.
That's a good thing.
I've got a lot of exciting things to tell you, but I've written myself, you know, I'm very anal retentive with the notes and the junk for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And now, why would I have to write this to myself? Really, here's what I wrote. Go light on World War III this weekend. The fight that continued from Friday's show into the weekend with my wife and my son, which was a big part of the weekend.
Go light on it, go easy on it.
And that's a note to myself. Then I write...
Note to self.
I really wrote this. Be upbeat and happy. Now, what kind of an ass am I? What kind of an ass is going to do a radio show, going to write about how his family drives him freaking crazy, but at the same time wants to write... Be upbeat and happy about it.
Be upbeat and happy.
The last thing I want to be is a downer here on this good-looking Monday.
Time to accentuate the positive.
That's right. And here's the positive. There are no dead bodies at 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Congratulations.
That's my home address. Ooh. If you money fans want to come check me out.
That's wonderful that there are no bodies. I'm so happy for you.
And it was just a CF of a weekend that had some good stuff in it, along with all the fighting. It started Friday. The fight on Friday was, I said to my kid, do me a favor. Drop mom off at the radio station because Frieda and I were going to go to this fancy Baltimore Ravens David Modell party up in Baltimore on Friday night, which we did, which was great. And I'll get into that and tell you about Marty Bass in a second. Then she says to him, you got to bring me, and I had asked him, please bring mom as a favor. And as it turns out, this unfolded on the air on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. They had a fight. He ended up, it was the thing he said, well, I said I would take in. She said, never mind. And then,
mm-hmm. Right.
So they were fighting, and by the time she arrived at the station on Friday night, she was already not in a great mood because the two of them had been fighting. And
she seemed to be visibly upset.
Yeah. She really was. But I want to tell you, these two went at it. These two people that I love more than anybody in the world went at it this weekend like proud gladiators, like rock'em, sock'em robots. I mean to tell you, and all I'm doing is watching. All I'm doing is watching.
That's right.
I'm observing. I'm trying to help. I mean, listen, like I said to them both, you're both wrong. First, kid, you're wrong. You know, we ask you to do something simple. Give your mother a ride to join Dad. You do it, okay? So you're a jerk face. Okay, Frieda, wife, who I love so much.
Mm-hmm.
You're right to be mad. Off with his head, I say.
Right.
But for goodness sakes, it's only like one of 1 million things that this kid does that pisses us off.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a bigger-than-life event. When
did you wear your striped shirt this weekend?
And I should have. And I played everything wrong because she got into the car Friday night. We drove up to Baltimore together, mm-hmm. and I said, how are you? Because she'd just been arguing with Bart all day.
Yeah.
And I said, how are you? She said, frankly, I'm not real good. And I said, is there anything I can do? And she said, no. Now, my mind frame on Friday night, by the time the show was done, the show that we're doing now, the show that I come to every day, that, you know,
this,
right,
show.
This one, by the time I got, I was wound like a friggin' rubber band already because of the stuff between my wife and my kid. And I go downstairs. She said she didn't want to talk about it. The whole drive to Baltimore, you know, the only person I talked to was the OnStar. When I finally had to press the button to say, how do I get on? There was a Orioles game on
right.
Friday night, and there was some construction. So how do I get to Utah Street? So I did the OnStar. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but there was some, you know, I would say, how are you doing? And she'd say,
sure.
She'd say, okay. But apparently I didn't do enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I was mad at her and mad
but
at
wanted
Bart.
Help, but she wanted you to assume that.
Well, as she told me on Saturday, and I'm jumping all over the place now, but just in the chronological order of the story of the war that continued all weekend, when we got to the party on Friday night, this party for David Modell, mm-hmm. there was a lady there, I don't know, one of Pat Modell's friends. Now, Pat Modell is the wife of Art Modell, the guy who used to own the team.
Right.
So, I don't know, she's, you know, over 50.
Right.
And her friends are, you know, all also over 50. Anyway, mm-hmm. so there's one of these women who I had met previously. I don't know, she's like maybe 70. She's well put together for a 70-year-old, very hip, she got it together.
Good.
She comes over and she says, you know, something like, oh, you darling baby, I haven't seen you for so long. Would you like to dance? Now, and they even mentioned on the air, on this thing, it says dinner and dancing. And not a chance I dance. I don't dance.
Right, yeah.
Unless I'm bombed out of my mind. Well,
right.
I wasn't bombed out of my mind. But I said to this old broad, this nice lady, I said, I would love to dance with you.
And
then what I did was,
it was the old style of dancing.
No, I mean, but it was my old style of dancing. It wasn't
right?
like ballroom dancing, but we were, whatever it was, I had my arm around her.
It's kind of lumbado-like.
Donnie
and,
dancing.
And I, yes, thank you. And I'm
a lot
leading.
Of grinding?
Not a terrible amount.
Okay.
Not for lack of trying.
Little, yeah.
So anyway, as we're dancing our way around, I come across my wife, who's uh-huh. standing at the other corner of the room. And now listen to what a jerk I am. As we go past her, I say, hey, hi, Frida. Look, I'm dancing. I'm dancing with this lady.
Oh.
And you know why I'm dancing with her? Because I'm mad at you about the ride up here. La, 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 la.
Said that out loud?
Said it out loud.
Oh, dear.
To her face.
Yeah, bad move.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake. Paid for that on Saturday. I mean, and to my wife's credit, I'll say we went through the rest of the party fine. We socialized
Good.
With all the people.
Good.
We had a great time. She drove home. All I remember is getting into the car at 1:30, and it was 3 o'clock, and we were at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was home. And then
you had drool coming down your cheek.
Next thing I know, I woke up on Saturday, and boy, had hell frozen over in my house, because not only was the fight with my son still ongoing,
uh-huh.
but I had totally mismanaged the situation the night before.
Right.
I had a pretty killer hangover going,
uh-oh.
And I was just sitting in the computer room Saturday morning very early, listening to my wife and trying to be comforting, and at one point she said, you know, and she had a moment, I don't know which Diane Keaton movie it is, one of the movies where she loses her mind.
Well, the most recent one, she loses her mind a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, something's got to give. Because my wife looks like, she's a good-looking woman like that, about the same size. There's one of those scenes in the movies where Diane Keaton just says something like, I can't take it anymore! Don't you understand? Why just well, I got that from Frida on Saturday,
right.
Saturday morning after talking to her, which she was screaming at me. She's screaming. I said, I'm just trying to help. Everything I'm doing is wrong. She said, no, you want to help at all? All you want to do is lecture me. I tell you how I'm feeling, and you say to me, buck up. Are you going to stop the pity party now?
You know,
all things that I did say.
Right.
And she flipped out. I mean, she went buff-friggin-listic on
right,
my ass.
Right.
And it took a lot of letter writing.
Oh, an old family minister who had recorded it also.
So we finally get this worked out.
Good.
At least my part with Frida.
Okay.
Where, listen, yeah, I think they're both wrong, but I got to be the bigger person. I'm the dad. And all she really wanted... Oh, I thought I heard my phone. All she really wanted from me was
right.
She just wanted me to be Big Daddy. All she wanted was just a hug. That's
right.
All, that's all she wanted.
She wanted comfort, yeah.
Yeah, and rather than that, I can't help it, Mike. I'm a man who thinks with my head, not with my hand.
Logical. Right.
I thought, how can you thank you, Buzz? Logical. That's the word I'm looking for. I'm logical. So anyway,
Not hugs.
We get past all that junk. And I've got lots of good stuff to tell you about this party. And we went to see the Bourne movie, which was great, except for the people that were in the theater with us, as always. Then it's now Sunday morning, and this thing between my wife and my son continues.
Mm-hmm.
Even Saturday night, it has continued. My wife and I have been out at the movies. We get back home. They try to talk. They can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
They're mad at each other. And when I'm trying to talk to either of them, they're both pissing me off. This is a gigantic argument. Sunday morning, yesterday morning, my kid's getting ready to go to work. It's about 10 o'clock in the morning. He comes downstairs. And Frieda and I are just sitting there looking at the newspaper. And then she cracked. I mean, and I felt awful for her because she really lost it with Bart standing right there. She just said, I love you so much. I hate that this is going on. I mean, this is, I'm not kidding. This is like drama that I don't need in my friggin' life. But whatever, it's real.
Yeah.
So she, it's, and you've heard her on the show, and you guys, you all know her, that it's very hard.
What does it say, bro?
No, not exactly, Rob.
Not quite.
No. maybe in an earlier round of the yelling.
Chopped down any of the cherry trees rose bushes.
No, right. I want to be very explicit about this. I felt awful for my wife.
She didn't say D-O-N-I, Donnie, bring me the axe.
She did. I mean, my wife is a tough nut to crack.
Right.
And
she is a tough lady. Very strong.
In this battle of the wills,
mm-hmm.
my kid, even though he was wrong, he's the jerk who didn't drive her, didn't do us the simple favor to give her the lift. In this 36-hour war they had, he won. She came. She just said, I love you, and I don't know what's happening. You know, you're changing, and you're 19, and I want the buddy that I used to have. And at that point, I think it's going to work out. And I think they've just about got it done. And then there's a moment, and he says, because he won't let it go, he says, okay, well, I'm going to go to work. Sorry, I'm not perfect. Sorry, I'm not just the way you'd like me to be.
Oh, no.
Sorry that I just can't live up to whatever level it is that you want. Okay, bye. And he leaves, and then she's sitting there. And I said to her, I love you more than anything. But you call your sister and you uninvite her over from coming over to our house today. I said, today, no visitors.
Right.
No salutations. Too much.
Too much.
Too friggin'.
Too many.
Too friggin' much. So now I've started a countdown clock. There are less than 22 days until my son goes back to college.
Wow.
And now I'm going to be marking off every day.
Do you think things are going to get better between your son and your wife?
I think, yes, but I don't think in 3 weeks.
Right.
They're both pretty pissed at each other. And,
yeah.
You know, listen, he's wrong. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
He's wrong. I'm on her side. I mean, he's wrong. I'm the parent. She's the kid.
Right.
He's wrong. But outside of chopping...
You're the parent, he's the kid.
Yeah, what did I say?
You said she's the kid, and I want you to correct that.
Yeah, probably should.
Please correct that. I'm just here trying to help.
Thank you. I'm just jumping through hoops right now, trying to fill this in a way that might be moderately entertaining, while at the same time allowing me to cleanse myself so that I can actually do the friggin' show.
I think anybody that knows this show knows you're purging right now.
Mm-hmm. So that
knows how important it is.
Yep.
That's all there is to that. And all of them are just fine now. That's it. They're fine, and things are great. and it's the countdown, and I'll just be taking him back to you know, not that he has to be taken back to college, but
right.
there has to be a second car driven with all, with his crap
right.
to get him back to college. That was going to be something we were all going to do. Now it's going to be something that just I will do.
Okay. But then
I'm,
3 weeks
you know,
away.
Yeah, and I'm down with that, too, but not a chance, Buzz.
No, no.
Not a chance.
Okay.
I want to say something.
All
you have... You have. I thought that Frida was the most stubborn person in the world. I now am realizing that Frankenstein, my son, is, and that not only is he the most stubborn person in the world, but he's, you know, about so many things, he's just, I mean, listen, I love him, but he's so totally upside down wrong about so many basic social skills that it drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It drives me nuts. But I said to my wife, I said, like, okay, I asked him to drive you to the radio station. He didn't do it. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
It's like, okay, so I'm disappointed. That would be what time number that I've been disappointed by my kid.
That'd be the straw that broke the camel's back.
And that's what she said.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was going on all freaking weekend, and it wasn't until last night that they kind of got it resolved.
And everything calmed down a little bit?
A little bit. Although, you know, as I was eavesdropping, I was upstairs listening to this downstairs, the fact that I could hear their voices would indicate the fact that they were speaking at...
Still at a decent level.
Yeah, at a pretty good clip.
Right, but there weren't any wire hangers or anything like that.
No, and listen...
Not anymore.
Frida kept it in her arsenal. I want to say this about her, that she said some things to my kid that I won't repeat here.
All right.
But she could have, like anybody, she could have said, hey, hola.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, welcome to the show. Is Mom there?
She's on the phone.
She's on the phone?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I've spent a little bit of time talking about you.
Good or bad?
Well, I've been describing the incredible weekend you guys put us through.
I thought it was a pretty good weekend. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right. Okay. All right, Ron Burgundy. Nice talking to you.
What? Are you pissed at me now?
No. I'm past everything. I'm revisiting everything that happened this weekend.
Why? It's over with.
Ever forward.
It's true. Right. Okay. Talk to you soon. Who's Mom on the phone with?
Insurance company.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, right. More good news for you. That's another win in your column.
Winner!
Oh, okay.
Son of the year.
All right. Talk to you later. I love you. I'll see you. Be good. Treat her nice, okay? Come on.
Always.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
Get out of here. Okay, so, Mike, not a word, please.
Thank not a word.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No need.
I appreciate that. So, that's me. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
You're good. Purge.
Now that, and look at that.
I know sometimes you need this job.
I would have gone on like an hour in a previous night. Look at how efficient I am. It's
that's
22
excellent.
Minutes after 3. That's pretty good.
That's a good thing.
Now I can tell you about some of the fun stuff.
Good.
Okay, so, we're at this Ravens party.
Yes.
And, David Modell, who is a good guy, he's an associate of mine. I'm really not sure. Here's the thing. When I talked about going to this party last week, I said, I imagine that they had filled the list, and they said, well, Marty Bass is unavailable. How about Don? Okay. Marty Bass is the weather guy on Channel 13. Hey, Gary, it's Marty Bass.
Sorry, got to go trout fishing. Can't make it on time.
So our history with Marty Bass is as follows. We don't have a history with this guy. He's a weather guy. We goof on him because he is Mr. Baltimore.
Yeah, and he's always I don't even know if he's originally from Baltimore, but he's always had that kind of, here we are, folksy kind of perfect Baltimore. He's like the perfect Baltimore TV guy.
So around the time that Lance Bass was popular, when Lance Bass wanted to go into space,
That's right.
Was it.
We made up this thing about Lance Bass being Marty Bass's cousin.
Hey there, boy. That's great. I'm real happy for
We're
you.
We're going to Baltimore. So
innocent joke.
We do it. We don't think anything about it.
Right. Michael is the personification of our impression of Baltimore, right?
Mike goes out and plays golf one day with a friend of his, and the friend says, what, it's about Marty Bass, do you remember?
Yeah, I said he bumped into Marty Bass, I think mentioned our names, and Marty Bass said something that really is not necessarily repeatable on the air about us, and I don't know whether it was lighthearted or not, but it was, you know, it was just a comment made about...
I mean, he was... My
buddy indicated to me that Marty Bass knew that we do that shtick on him, and we have a lot of fun at his expense.
So, And as I recall, your friend even called in that day, or maybe the next day, to confirm this. So we don't. And again, it's nothing big, but it's just a little thing.
Right.
Imagine my surprise when I walk through the door.
Somewhere with holes in it.
So I'm coming through. I'm coming through the door, and I'm just getting done with this 90-minute no conversation. Thick as fog in there, the tension's so thick in my car. Get out of the car. We're walking into this place in Baltimore where this party is being held Friday night. We see David Modell at the door, and he comes out and he says, "Hey, how you doing?"
Good.
And then his wife comes over and she says, "Hey, listen, I hope that you don't mind. I put you at Marty Bass's table." And I said,
David Modell did that?
Yeah, and I said, because I thought she was kidding, I said, "You're crazy, okay?
Right.
You know,
right. You're crazy.
I like you." I said, "You're crazy," and then she called me inside. She said, "No, listen, hold on, really seriously, are you like mad at that guy?" I said, "No, not at all. Why?" She said, "'Cause he's really here."
Marty Bass.
And he's really at your table.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this, of course, is not a surprise to Mike, not a surprise to Rob, since I immediately went out to the lobby to call both of them to say, "You're not going to believe this. I got to sit down with Marty Bass." So I sit down, I see this guy, and I go over and go, "Hey, what's happening?" And he's very nice. And he's, "Hey, how you doing here, boy?"
Right.
You know, I mean, whatever he says. And I said, "So what's the deal? Do you hate us?" And he said, "No, I don't hate you."
Right.
And I said, I related the story. I said, "Well, Mike was golfing with a guy, and he got very indignant and said, 'You get that golfer on the air,' and I did not say that."
Huh.
And more than one time came to me and kept saying over and over again, you know, I don't ever remember saying anything about you. But I'm pretty sure that he did.
Sure he did.
Because he was giving me the same kind of crap that I give somebody when I see them, and it's
right.
I've talked about that, you know. You did it. You did it, you said it.
Yeah, and it's good to have a leg up on that when you haven't seen the guy in a while.
Indeed. So it's what I think is gonna be awkward ends up being very nice.
Good.
Not only do I spend the better part of the evening with Marty and his wife and we chat, but I've got all of Marty's numbers here. So after we take a break, we can have Beth Ann call him and see if he wants to come on the air and clear the air with us.
Good. That'll be wonderful.
Whatever this is going on.
That'll be delightful.
So that was funny. That was funny. Then it was funny when I spent some quality time with, and I don't want to screw this guy's name up, because this is the guy who really, I want to plant my lips to this guy's rear. Steve Biscotti.
Oh, the new owner of the Baltimore Ravens.
New owner of the Ravens.
Do you have the name right?
No, I'm sure I don't.
Because that's that's an Italian pastry Italian cookie.
I believe his name is...
Is it Biscotti?
The translation is sprayed on tan.
That's great. Well, now you've assured yourself.
I can say that because he knows I'm a kidder.
He's a tan man, is he?
He's a naturally tanned man.
Yes, of course.
He's a big man.
There's a lot of moose in the hair this time, too.
Strong man. No, the hair seemed to be dry.
Seemed to
be dry.
That's good.
You know me, I get around those people that I consider to be important.
Yes, bigwigs.
And then I just will not let go.
I mean,
it's like the guy's shaking my hand and I got the death grip on there. I'm like,
sure.
"Hey, wow, what kind of cologne you wearing? You sure do smell. Cause, wow, you own a football team. Wow, you sure are damn." Meanwhile, the whole while, I'm just working his arm.
Sure.
And there was other people there, much more important than him, like senators and famous people that I saw. And just
exciting.
Don't remember their names.
Any football luminaries there?
Yeah, Ozzie Newsome was there.
Right.
Lots of people from the Ravens were there. I wasn't so gone that I don't remember everything, but it's one of those things where, you know what I mean? I had a good time.
Right.
I blew off some steam.
You,
I had,
you needed that. Sure.
I had a really, really good time.
Did you get any one-on-one time with BB?
Just a passing glance from BB, from Mr. Billick.
Did you remind him that you were Stu Nahan?
But the new owner, you went from the old owner to the new owner, huh?
Yeah, right. I had both of them right there. But they were sitting at the same table.
Because you didn't think he was going to be there. So that's a good thing.
Shrewd political move for him to be there.
Yeah, very much so.
And I spent the rest of the night talking to some guy. I mean, I came home like a whore with all of these business cards, with all of these people who I'm never going to want to talk to again. Because, you know, let's face it, I'm a disc jockey, and it's like some guy who one of the guys was, I'm sitting at a table, and the guy goes, so, you a football fan?
Yeah,
of course I'm a football fan. You know the Tampa Bay jerseys, the new helmets? I said, yeah. It's my baby. What? So right away. You know,
he's a designer?
I'm gay for this guy. So
right.
You did that?
Well, you love uniforms.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you like a card? You know, so of course, I walk out. Meanwhile, everybody's asking me for a card, and I'm saying to my wife, honey, do you have something I can write my phone number down on?
Yeah, but we don't carry cards.
No, but I don't want to. I don't want to talk to these people. They're nice to meet at a party, and they're fascinating to
sure.
meet at a party. But
you want to be on and gone.
I don't want to have any conversations with them. But it was just a great time, and I think the moment that best sums up the night, the tone of this party for the marriage of these two people, David and Michelle, was when I guess about 1:15 in the morning, just those of us who were still just hanging on, and I'm in this class, just refuse to leave.
Right.
Because I haven't said to leave yet, so
sure.
we're still there. Even though Frida's giving me the dirty eyeball, like from 12:30, like, come on, pal.
Here we go!
Wind it up. All I remember was at some point, and I don't want to say who it was, but some woman pulled out her fake breast. She had those things. We've talked about them on the air before.
Oh, the same kind that Barbara Walters brought, or that Joy Behar brought out?
No.
They're
not
made
not
out
those.
Of plastic?
No. They look, they're like little jello-y things.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
The
pad that goes in the bra.
The pad that goes
right.
in the bra.
Was one of these, oh, I'm exhausted.
Like you were there.
Oh,
and flop, flop. Right down on the table.
That had to be a good plot.
Right down on the table.
Wow.
And I don't want to say whose they were because there
sure.
were four or five different women.
Yeah. It was Marty Bent. Sorry, Marty. No, I'm not.
I smelled them.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd they smell?
Sweaty.
Yeah.
They did. They smelled mighty sweaty.
Really?
But I think it was a good intimate gathering, and I thanked them for inviting us. And we had a nice time, and then Marty Bass. Oh, and then we went to the movies, and we saw the Bourne Supremacy over the weekend.
I got mixed reviews on that. How did you like it?
We loved it. We absolutely, even Frida liked it. You know, she didn't like anything that I liked.
Matt Damon's terrific. I'm glad you liked it.
Here's the thing: when you go to see a movie like this, where obviously the demos are, we were surprised that we were at like I don't know what time the show was. It was an early show, but a lot of old people there,
right?
A lot older than us, you know. And
kind of a thinking man's thriller.
And as we're sitting there, I'm realizing that we're going to have a different animal in this theater because most of the people had gray hair.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get talkers, but we're going to get the talkers who are actually loud whisperers.
Right.
And there was one guy behind us, and I won't bother calling her now because she's got enough going on, but she would verify. This guy, here's like the movie would be playing, and he would say, if he goes in there, he's going to get shot. And he would say it loud enough
right.
so that, like, heads from three rows away would turn.
Just one of these people that has to communicate.
And,
right.
and all the time, everything, it's,
pestered.
You know who's waiting behind that door? You know, don't go. And he actually said one time, don't go in there. And the only time that I even slightly got into it with this guy was he said, don't go in there. Don't go in there. And as it turns out, it's a wasted scene where Matt Damon doesn't go into this room anyway.
Wow.
And I turned around and I said, boy, it's a good thing he took your advice. And it was just...
Now go die.
It was over the guy's head. Yeah.
But a good movie.
He had no idea. And yeah, I would... Now that's, you know, I know a lot of you gave me crap about Anchorman.
Right.
You give me... I'll say, the Bourne Identity, or Bourne, whatever this
Bourne
is.
Supremacy. Yes.
Still not as good as Anchorman.
All right.
But... It's good. It's worth your money.
Good film.
It's worth your money. And he's good.
I like Matt Damon.
He's good. I mean, I'm not queer for him, but he's good.
I am.
And then tonight we're going out with our good friends, Buzz and Marcia.
Yes. It's today. Today's the day, right?
That's right.
Congratulations,
thank
Buzz.
You. 29 years.
29 years mm-hmm. married for our friend,
thank
Buzz Gertler, and his wife, Marcia. There you go.
Yeah, congratulations, Buzz.
Thank you.
And what would you like to say on this this special day, Buzz?
A happy anniversary to us, and I love you, Marcia. Unfortunately, she can't hear me because she's at work.
You're a terrible romantic.
It's on the record.
Anything more than that, is that it?
That'd be funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And now, when we come back, here's what we have on today's show. Now, Mike was in Boston this weekend.
Yes.
And
oh, I had me a weekend.
We have so many questions for you.
I have so much to say.
Did you have anything to do with the fight at the ball game?
No, I did not.
The Red Sox Yankees game?
No, I would have been out getting a beer at that point.
When they were fighting?
I was a bad fan on Saturday.
Mm. You bad fan?
I was a bad fan.
What do you mean you were a bad fan?
I was a bad fan. I didn't stay for all the like crucial moments.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I was out
illegally smoking. I almost got thrown out because of that.
Cigarettes, I hope.
Yes, cigarettes.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I admit I was getting a beer and then bumped into a friend of mine. And
well, in Boston, isn't everybody a friend of you?
No, this is a guy from down here that I saw.
Oh.
This guy Chandler that I saw up there. And not the guy
Chandler
from,
Bing?
No, not Chandler Bing. And it was... You know, I'm talking to him right at that moment that I'm like, hey, how are you? You know, you just see somebody you know. You know, you see somebody you know from another, and you're in another city. And that's when you hear the just crowd go nuts, and that's when the fight was.
Oh. Yeah.
And
you had so much. Chandler Bing.
So I can't even be, I don't know where to start. I mean, just with the celebrities, with everything else, it was it was incredible.
Pick it up when we get back.
I will.
I'd like to call Marty Bass, if you don't mind.
Yes.
And then, you know, or in any order.
I have some thank yous, too.
You want to get that out now?
Yeah, I'd like to. I'd like to thank my good friends at Next Flight Aviation, my friend Alan, and all the wonderful people.
Whore.
It's the best. Absolutely wonderful.
They made your weekend special.
They did.
Mike's a whore. That's all I wanted. That had something in my throat.
Thank you, Alan.
Something in my throat. We will be right back.
Everybody, this is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, when I went to school, there were men's residences, there were women's residences, and there was one co-ed dorm. But it is now the norm on most college campuses across this country that dormitories are co-educational, except in one state. There's one state that bans...
McTree!
Okay.
No,
there is one... I have no idea what he's saying. Anyway, there's one campus where there are co-educational facilities.
Let them give ye a comedy facial. Don and Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there she is. So how you doing, my fragile little butterfly?
I am good after you you comforted me with your big, strong arms after I told you, comfort me with your big, strong, stupid arms.
I don't know if you were listening. I was saying you were just like Diane Keaton in that movie. And the movie where she goes nuts. You know, I don't know which one it is. It's a combination of Diane Keaton in The First Wives Club and Diane Keaton in Something's Gotta Give.
Very good.
But anyway, you had that moment yesterday. If I could just say, darling, you flipped out yesterday at exactly 10:57. That's what time it was.
As I was working. Very nice. Oh, the reason why I flipped out.
I think I did. I did say the reason you flipped out.
I did successfully explain that.
Because you wanted me to just hold you like I would hold a teddy bear rather than...
You know, I told you, and I told you the night before, you said, well, what should I do? And I said, you could be comforting, you know, you could just listen.
I'm a problem solver, though.
And so the night before, you did nothing on the way to the place. And see, I had to stop listening when you said that Bart and I were equally wrong because I discussed with you.
I covered this. I've covered all of this.
No, you did not cover that.
No, I mean on the radio. You did not
cover that. You said that he and I were both wrong. The bottom line was he was wrong. I was the injured party. I needed comforting.
Okay.
And instead, I got, you done feeling sorry for yourself? That was big comfort.
Well, we've moved past that now.
Yeah, we are past it. But you did, I already told you, don't say that.
Don't say what?
Don't say that we are equally wrong. That validates his being a jerk.
Listen, he knows I think he's a jerk.
No,
I told
then
you.
Why do you even say that?
This is just what happened at home.
But why can't you say that?
Why can't it just be? Listen, I'm as offended as you are that we asked him to do a simple task and he didn't do it.
Yeah, and I'm not saying. Well, you and he are equally wrong because you made the mistake of asking him. Why do you say?
Yeah, but because he didn't do it, and I didn't like let that crack my inner core like it did crack yours.
I was injured, not wrong, darling.
All right, darling. Listen, we've worked past this as a family. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, because I thought we came to that understanding, and then you reiterate today that he and I are equally wrong because he...
Okay, you're not equally wrong.
Because he was a jerk and I was upset, so that makes me wrong.
You're not equally wrong. It's just you should, as I love you, I'll talk to you later. You know, anything I say would be wrong right now. There's really not a winning play right now in this.
Yes, there is. What did I tell you to do?
Please don't emasculate me.
It's not emasculating. It's very, because you're a strong, loving man, it's helpful to me.
Oh, no, I said that you just wanted to be hugged and you wanted to be told it was okay, you want to be comforted.
Your big, teddy bear arms.
I said all of that junk. I said all of that stuff.
Well, then, when you say now, anything I say will be wrong, I said, no, I've already even told you. I've given you instructions.
Okay fantastic. Very good. What do you remember about Marty Bass Saturday night at the party? Friendly man?
He was more than friendly.
More than friendly. Mm.
Yeah.
More than friendly.
All right, darling. So, overall, the weekend, how would you grade it? You were right there in the eye.
On a 1 to 10 scale?
You were in the eye of the hurricane all weekend.
Yeah, 1 to 10 scale.
Now, you know what? I would say that party was the eye of the hurricane. Everything was calm and happy at that party. The rest of the weekend was the hurricane.
Would that be, for us as a family, the worst weekend we've had, I would say, in how long? Years?
Yep.
Years. Yes, years.
Oh. And you made it through.
Yes, we made it
and
through.
And you survived.
Yep, we did. All right, darling.
And I think we all learned something and came out a little bit better.
Really? Well, write that down and email it to me because I'd like to know what it is.
You learned how to comfort me.
Okay, yes, and I will try to do that. Try to stop just logically solving problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's much easier for me. Understand, it's much easier for me not to think about it.
Your way of solving problems is to come and tell me forcefully, be happy. It doesn't solve anything. So you just gave, that's all right, sweetie. I'm here for you. I love
honey,
you.
Honey, listen, I love you. I do love you. And, you know, 22 days, he's going back to college. And then we'll get our little life back.
I know that. I don't think men understand what women want. It's just, you know, occasionally to be comforted and loved and not to be lectured or, you know, problem solved or whatever you type A's want to do.
Okay. Love you so much.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, I know. You got stuff to do.
I do. I've got Marty Bass on the other line right now.
You do not.
I do.
Oh, well, tell him I said hi.
You think I'm lying to you? Marty Bass is on the phone. Hey, Marty.
Hey, son, how's it going, bud?
There is Marty Bass. Frida, yeah. Do you see that now? It's Marty Bass on the phone.
I know. He's a sweetheart. Okay, I'll let you go then.
See how friendly she sounds when someone else is on the phone?
Yeah, well,
yeah, I think that's wonderful.
He was sweet. He danced with me when you wouldn't dance with me.
We had a great time. Frida looks at me and says, hey, you want to dance?
Done.
That's okay.
Frida, goodbye to you, darling.
Okay, goodbye.
Here he is now, everybody. Let's prove once and for all we don't have a feud. Here is
Marty Bass.
Marty Bass,
yeah.
Everybody. Hey, Marty.
Hey, Mike. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Marty. How are you?
Of course, WJZ, Channel 13, does the morning show up there.
Mr. Baltimore would be a good name for Marty Bass.
Yep. Now, Marty, as I discussed with you at David's party on Friday night, you're gracious enough to give me your phone numbers. Listen, there's no feud between us, right? We love you, and you tolerate us, correct?
Well, clearly there was a little bit of miscommunication by a third party that may have led to a little bit of bad blood.
Mm.
But you and I bellied right up to the bar. As a matter of fact, I walked over, stuck my hand down, and you said, you know what the problem is? We cut right to the chase, got it taken care of, and had a great time.
We did. So we are friends with Marty Bat. Mike, what are you shaking?
I'm not.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were shaking your
head. No, not at all. No,
we had we had quite the quality time
even the miscommunication, whatever it was, even way back when, that was not any source of bad blood. That was a source of fun, as far as I was concerned.
You know, and I told Marty, and it wasn't just kissing his ass. He's Mr. Baltimore, you know.
Yep.
And when
I heard from, you know, and it's so long ago I have trouble remembering it, when I heard that you had been approached by a friend of mine and said, you know, those two guys, and you know, even that was funny. I mean, it, that made me laugh, and that was, you know.
Actually happened, Mike, I said, I can't imagine Mike O'Meara is going to want to play golf with me the way these guys beat me up. I said, but I'd love to play golf with Mike. I'm going to come along. Let's go ahead and set something up, and what got back you guys was completely 100% totally different interpretation.
And let me just say that,
you know,
Marty and I
can see where that would happen.
Yeah. Marty and I, you know what we did because we're men?
Yes, what?
We fixed the situation with logic.
There you go.
There was no need to
men
cuddle.
Are logical.
No, there was no need to cuddle like I had to cuddle my wife. We worked it out, and we're cool. And Marty,
I think in this business, when you have a real feud or bad blood with somebody, you would, you know, I mean, you would avoid them. You wouldn't want to be near them.
Right.
And I know you feel the same way I do. I mean, you proved it. I mean, if I bumped into Marty Bass, I'd be the first one to go up and say, hey.
Amen. We had a great time. Marty, you're welcome on our show anytime.
I'm a fan.
Well, I tell you what, you know, we're going to definitely get something together because on your end, you said, how come you're always putting JoJo and Kenny on or Steve Rouse on guys here in the Baltimore market?
That's true. I didn't mention that.
I said, that's that wonderful Infinity Synergy. And you looked at me like, dummy, we're Infinity. And it's like, no, I'm Don, you're right. So there's no reason not to do something.
All right, Marty.
Your audience is basically my audience.
Well, absolutely. And that's everybody in Baltimore, Marty Bass. Mm-hmm. Now, come on. Now you don't get mad when we talk like that, do you?
No, but just remember, it's the word, just in Baltimore we say hun, right?
Hun.
It's not, no, you just said it hun as in German soldier. It's more of a Korean sound. Hun.
Hun. Hun. Hun. Hun. Hun. Hun. That's funny. We are we've been tutored in this.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, there's no better guy to
in Baltimore. But you know what you had? It was really funny because, like, some of the people in the know, we're going, Don Geronimo, Marty Bass in the same room. Christ almighty, the reactor rods are being pulled out. It's going to go nuclear.
Yes, I mean, this was the vibe when I walked into the room.
That's weird.
So anyway, Marty, thanks for coming on the show. You're a great guy. Had a great time with you and your wife. Really, no kidding.
Well, it was a really good time, particularly that little after party.
I was briefly talking about that.
I lost count of bottles of BP at about 8.
There was a lot of good stuff.
Wow.
A lot of good stuff.
All right, listen, I'm going to tell you what. On my end, for you folks in the Baltimore market, tomorrow morning about 6:10, I'm bringing up the JFK website. I'm going to show a beautiful picture of Don Geronimo.
Don't do that, Marty.
But we're a friend.
I'm going to announce that possibly the three greatest broadcasters in the area are going to join forces. We're just going to mow things down.
Okay, you got it's a deal.
I like that, Marty.
It's a deal. And Marty, thanks again. Talk to you soon.
Don, it was a good time. Mike,
all right, you got it.
Take care, Marty.
Very nice. Bye-bye.
Marty Bass, everybody. Marty Bass. Good morning, John Scott. Is that the guy's name, the guy with the beard?
Don Scott.
I was on with Don and Mike, and I'm not going to bring this up to Marty, but 6:10 a.m. Well, what's that, prime time?
Yeah.
I mean,
for morning TV.
Is that really prime time for morning
TV? Great time for us, yeah. Marty, yeah.
You said you solved the problem with no cuddling. Was there no cuddling?
Well, Rob, what happens between myself and the Basses?
8 bottles of Dom, that'll do you some cuddling. Come here, boy. Come on now and plant one on me.
That's right. Ain't it great, boy? Marty Bass and I were sitting at the table, and at one point, I know I was drinking out of the bottle.
That's a good part.
And he said something to me like, you know, and you make fun of us for the way that we act here. Look at you.
There you go.
So anyway.
You had a great time at that party.
Hey, Eddie Money. Hey, Don and Mike. Is Eddie Money here?
Eddie Money.
So anyway, I'm glad we could get that worked out with Marty.
Yeah.
Marty Bass. Always great having the love of my life on the show.
Absolutely.
As I continue to be upbeat and happy.
You're working on.
Looking forward to, Mike in Boston. Okay, now, here's the deal, Mike. We got a break coming up that we have to hit because...
All right.
In our next segment, we have... One of the moms, this is great. Now, I don't know if she's Japanese or Thai, whatever. She's Asian. What would Bill Parcells say?
Oriental.
He would, yeah. Anyway, she's on this Fox show, Trading Spouses.
Trading Spouse, the new one.
It's on tonight.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Why is that?
Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on. Mike wants the defense to do well. And Sean, he's
her name is Tammy Nakamura.
No disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays.
Tammy Nakamura, right.
Surprise things. And
Tammy Nakamura.
No disrespect to anyone.
She's going to live with an African-American family.
Wonderful.
So imagine the hilarity that will ensue.
Of course it will.
Tammy Nakamura
sounds like a Japanese.
Yeah, goes and lives with them. So she's coming on in a second, and then also in this hour, sometime in this hour. Now this is I'm real sorry. This turned out to be like my / psychologist / guilty pleasure show. Not only all that fantastic behind the scenes with my family. Mm-hmm. Now we've got booked today as a guest on the show. A person, I guarantee, there's only one person in the entire listening audience that cares to talk to this person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's me.
Right.
It's the girl from Channel 2 in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but I'll live vicariously through you. This will be, and this will be even better than Stan Lee.
The girl that, and Mike.
And I've seen the still pictures, and they're good enough for me.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I think you're going to find that I bring the same level of childish enthusiasm.
Absolutely.
And just one at peace with the world when I think about Lisa Joyner.
Very exciting.
From KCBS.
Lovely.
Who I watch on the satellite every morning. I don't live in Los Angeles. Our show is not broadcast 300 miles near Los Angeles. But
no one can possibly relate to this that's listening right now. But it's all right.
Because I'm really screwed up.
Sure.
I'm really, really screwed up. That I get up in the morning and I do what I have to do. I get on the treadmill. I have my coffee. I read the newspaper. Then I sit down at my desk to think about this stupid show. And to have some background, I could either choose the Today Show, Good Morning America, ESPN, NFL Channel. No, I choose KCBS.
Because of this lady.
Because I happen to know at 7 minutes after, 23 minutes after, 38 minutes after, and the blessed 51 minutes after.
But who's counting?
She's going to be on.
Your dream girl.
Yeah. Wearing some outfit that's really not proper for television.
Very exciting.
I mean, and she doesn't dress like a whore. She really doesn't like a whore. She doesn't dress like Julian Barbary, but she doesn't dress like girls should dress on television.
Right.
So that's what's happening with her. So give me a guilty pleasure on that.
Sure.
And I know that Mike's weekend in Boston included being up there at the game where they had the big fight.
Yep, on Saturday.
Being up in Boston when John Kerry threw out the first ball.
Was at the game last night.
And?
Along with luminaries.
Oh, this is a good tease, because I don't know the answer to this either. And we're up on the break. Mike said, and I was watching the Red Sox game last night. Oh, and also, are you ready to concede or make
I have a statement I'd like to make on that.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I'm watching the game last night, and, you know, they're saying, hey, look in the crowd. There's Katie Couric. All these people are in Boston.
Did you see me?
Yeah. I did not see you. All these people were in Boston for the convention, and Mike was mentioning up in the office, and I wouldn't tell us who it was.
Right.
Said you got John Kerry there, you got Katie Couric there.
Katie Couric, John Cusack, I was told, I did not see him, but I was told was at the game. Tim Russert was Meet the Press was there. You had Senator Glenn, Senator Biden. There were just luminaries everywhere.
It was, and they were all dwarfed. As far as reaction from the crowd,
it was an amazing reaction.
By one person?
There was no one that got more of an enthusiastic reaction.
Wow.
And I mean, a chant went up, and I was confused because I thought I thought they perhaps were chanting for the Democratic nominee, but that was not the case. I misheard, and it was just a phenomenal moment in sports for me.
Mike told me it was a moment cemented for him. All people are idiots.
Yes, most definitely.
Most people are idiots.
You know, wow, what is this crowd going bananas? Okay. Why are they going absolutely? And then once I realized it, I said, oh, duh. and also I was in the middle of an anti-war protest inadvertently up in Boston, which,
inadvertently, say, Abby Hoffman O'Mara.
Right. There's a little of me, but I mean, I was, it really didn't look right when I was sitting there carrying my Red Sox souvenir bag while they all have the protest banners up and I've got my little souvenir. But, we just stumbled in. It was that kind of weekend, just stumbled into everything and seemed to be in the middle of everything, whether I want it to be or not.
Wow. We'll hear it when we come back from this break.
You were like Forrest Gump.
It was,
actually. And you know what? Amazingly, Saturday at a certain time, I probably sounded like Forrest Gump.
And Secret Sound today.
Oh.
It's back, and it's worth $100 today when you hear the toe-tapping touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Fernando, we'll give you 5 seconds. What, buddy?
Hey, that woman from that Wife Swapping show, Nakamura, she's not Japanese. What? She's actually white.
Hawaiian.
Okay, doesn't matter.
No, white. Anglo-Saxon.
White. Oh, she's white.
She's white.
She married a Japanese man.
Okay, well, then it's her husband who's Japanese. Oh, you know what? Here you go. Here's a chime for you.
All right, let me get this straight. She's a white woman who married a Japanese man who's going to be, and she's going to be living with an African American family.
Yes, that's correct. That's what they're telling me now. Also from the back row.
That was a valuable 5 seconds we just.
I agree.
There.
Thank you.
Clear that up,
Fernando. If I had that ABBA song, I'd play it for you. If I knew where Fernando Venezuela was.
Venezuela.
Fernando Venezuela.
Venezuela.
Anyway.
And Steve Biscuit.
Yes, that's right. Spray on tan.
Love you here in Fresno. I wish we had the fourth hour, but they're not getting it to us.
We're working on that. But at least, at least in Fresno, you're getting it for 3 hours live. On FM, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't tell how happy we are, man. I'll tell you that right now.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, can I tell you how happy I am without tempering it with a problem or a complaint?
Now, Robin, this is an entire new market. This is Fresno. This is
Rob's California theory.
This is not Sacramento.
Rob said that we cannot get a call from California without some sort of negative at the end.
No, I think this was a good caller, Fernando.
Damn right.
I like Nando.
All right, guys.
He was informative and he was complimentary.
Don't call again.
Rob.
We got a break. We'll come back with the lady who I guess Fernando says is not Asian.
Right.
But she's married to an Asian.
Absolutely.
On the Fox Show Trading Spouses when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, Buzz, the way I understand this is they gave you one of these cars, one of these BMWs with the iPod inside.
Yeah, and it was great, and then they took it away.
For more information on this, all you have to do is go to iPodYourBMW.com today. Right, Buzz?
Right.
Now, Buzz, how did your kids like that?
The kids loved it.
You don't have kids.
March. Oh. March is the kids.
Very cool, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Roses are red, violets are blue.
Right.
I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I.
The Don and Mike Show. Hot dog, the Don and Mike Show.
Station break. Don and Mike, we're on a lot of broken stations.
We broke them.
Rochester, New York, WHTK. Spokane. KFAN, KJRB. Dallas. Live 105.3 FM. We're just talking about Fresno, California. KRNC 105.9. Get that last hour on, please, Fresno. Here is Tammy Nakamura. Hey, Tammy.
Good morning, or should I say afternoon?
Yes, good afternoon. Tammy is the mom from the Fox Show Trading Spouses. And if you've seen the commercials, she's the white lady who moves in with the African-American family, and at least in the clip that they're running on the show that premieres tonight at 8, 7 Central on Fox, she's pictured going into the kids' bedroom saying, I don't like rap music.
Oh, dear.
Still don't. Even after the show, I still don't.
You didn't come around on rap music, huh?
Oh, that's one I'm trying, but I sure haven't got there yet.
Now, Tammy, for goodness sakes, how did you get roped into doing this, and how long will you be living with this other family as their mom?
Now, it's already been filmed, and it was for 7 days.
Seven days. And let's get this up front. There was nothing conjugal about, I mean, you didn't really switch. You didn't fulfill marital obligations.
Oh, absolutely not. No, that wasn't part of the show.
Right. You just transplanted.
I'll put my foot down on that one.
Yeah. You transplanted yourself into another family for 7 days. And how does somebody get into an experience? I mean, do you audition? What happens? Or do they find you? Where does this stuff germinate?
Well, how I was found was a girlfriend of mine does some casting for shows in Dallas when they're looking for people, and she heard the premise of the show and called and said, Tammy, your family would be perfect for this. Will you give it a shot? And I said, sure, not thinking anything about it, and the ball kept rolling, and apparently they had about 5,000 families and got it down to 10, and we were one of those 10 families.
Now, do you think that the luck of the draw played into it, or is it the fact that in this group, at least, you've got all the demographics, you've got all of the different groups, you've got, you know, white, black, Asian, everybody living together. Is that one reason that you got hooked up with this particular family? And golly, what was the best thing and the worst thing about living with this other family?
Well, first of all, I don't know how they came up with picking the family, so I can't say why they picked the, you know, black, white, Asian, that sort of thing. I think just kind of it gave them a little diversity, probably.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of sexy, the mingling of the races.
Absolutely. Sexy. I love it.
Oh, and I never think anything about it. I think the media makes a lot more of it than I make of it. That is for sure.
Now, what do you mean by that? When you say the media makes a lot about the show, do you think the media is making a lot about it because of the ethnic diversity that's involved here?
I think that's a part of it. I think it's basically, you know, the economic levels of the two, which I never even looked at because they made it look like I'm an affluent. They made me the bad Erica Kane.
You into a bad lady on the show?
Reality. Well, somebody's got to be, and I'm okay with that. I was glad that they didn't make my family look that way.
So they just made you look bad, and you know that already before the show's even going to air? You know that they've cut it up so that you look bad?
No, the show aired last week, but they're showing this evening, and then the second part of it will be shown tomorrow evening.
Gotcha.
I've already seen the first show.
So tonight is a rebroadcast of the original one, of the first episode.
It sounds like you're not all that thrilled with the way you came across on the show, the way they made you look.
Oh, well, it's not me, but then that's TV. Reality, I mean, where's the real in reality?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, other people have said that have been on reality shows that they kind of feel double-crossed a little bit because at the end of the day, the way the editing works and the way they put the whole thing together, yeah, you know, as you said, they have to have a villain that, you know, somebody is not real happy with the way they came out. And is that what happened in your case?
Well, I wouldn't have portrayed myself that way because that's not the way that I am. But you don't get on something and somebody give you $50,000 just to look like Cinderella sometimes.
Right, so explain to us how you win the money, because it's either you or the other mom that wins the money, right?
No, we both get it.
Well, you both get it.
We both do. Our family gets $50,000 and her family gets $50,000. She decides how our family spends our money, and I decide how their family spends their money.
Now, if you decide that, what is the most controversial decision you made with that family?
Well, I can't tell you.
Secret until you got to watch the show.
That's right. Now, imagine the crazy racial stuff when you've got a white woman moving in with a black family as their mom. Now, on the other hand, you have a black woman moving into a family where your husband is Japanese.
That is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you've got kids?
Yes, we do. Two children.
So you got two kids. So now you got, you know, this is like a sitcom.
It's incredible.
Now you say, okay, hold on. Let's take the black lady and put her in with the Asian kids. And hold on, but the Asian kids, their mom is white. What was it like? We're looking at it just from the standpoint of a white woman going into the black home. What was it like for the other woman going into your home? Do you know, what did your family say about that, about her?
So my family had a great time because that's the way we've raised our kids, is just to be comfortable in any situation. As far as how they felt...
You haven't raised them to be afraid of black people?
Say that again?
I was making a joke.
That was a joke. Go ahead, Tammy.
I don't even look at it as a racial thing, and they made it more a racial thing. I didn't even look at it that way because that's not the way that I am, but they made it that way. Mm.
Do you think people watching the show might come across as seeing you and saying, you know, hey, this is a lady that doesn't have a lot of understanding in that regard, or what?
No, not the racial part. I think more the economic level is they tried to make it.
Oh, so they make you out to be kind of a richy rich, right? Like a rich lady?
You know,
yeah.
For anybody listening to our show now who didn't see it last week, and I didn't see it, but I'll watch it tonight, without ballpark, you know, are you rich? Are you middle class in real life, you and your husband?
Well, let's put it this way. I don't have to worry about where my next meal comes from, hopefully, but you never know. That could be taken away tomorrow.
Okay, so you do okay then. You do all right.
And financially, how would you summarize the other family? I mean, without putting them down, just realistically, middle class, lower middle class?
Well, let me say one thing. They portrayed me as being the rich white snob who never gets up off the couch but barks orders around. I've worked every day for the last 10 years. I own my own business as well as my husband. I didn't come from affluent families at all, nor did my husband.
Let me ask you something, darling. It's a question I've asked my own wife. Do you believe in such
a... Say that again?
It's a question I've asked my own wife, and I ask you, do you believe that there could be... And this has nothing to do with your show. This is just my own profile of you. Do you believe that there's such a thing as a sale at Neiman Marcus?
I don't know. I don't shop at Neiman Marcus, so I couldn't tell you.
There's a feather in your gun.
You've already passed. You mentioned Dallas, and I thought, okay, the whole Neiman Marcus.
Well, Don asked you earlier, what was the best thing about it? What was the best thing about the experience?
Getting to meet the Biggins family. They will be friends of ours for life.
The Biggins family? Good.
Are you a good cook?
can get by. And they made it look like I never cooked a meal in my life. And I cooked every meal while I was over there.
Now, Tammy, now hold on. Tammy, I got to ask you, you can get by. What does that mean, you can get by?
My children definitely eat what I cook.
All right, hold on. Yeah. That's here's, another hold on,
very cryptic comment.
Here's Sarah in California, who saw this show last week, wants to talk to Tammy. Sarah.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Hi. We're doing great, Sarah. Go ahead. You're on with Tammy from the Fox show, Training Spouses.
Okay, Tammy, she is beyond rich. I just want to say that she's trying to say that she wasn't or she's set for life.
Now, calm down. Speak directly to her. At least have the decency to
she's
do that.
She's on the phone.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Hi, Tammy. Nice to meet you. Let me just say that ahead of time. And it was really weird to see the difference of both families because they're complete opposites. That's all I'm trying to say is that she has
Tammy,
such great vibes, and these families just didn't seem like it. It was really weird.
Tammy, do you think that's an accurate statement, that the families are complete opposites?
And you're not going to be able to say that they don't have a great life just because they don't have as much money as I do. That's just prejudging on seeing 30 minutes on the air. Yes, I have more money than them. There is no question about that. But I didn't grow up with any money at all. So I've been in the same position they have, and they have a wonderful life because the bottom line is if you've got a good core family that teaches your kids respect,
teaches
your kids values, it doesn't matter what economic level you are.
I agree with that completely. I saw that from the other side of the family, but with your side, it just seemed like you were a little more. Oh, I have to do this. You know, oh, I'm hungry. Somebody feed me.
So I would just... Tammy, are you saying...
think that maybe they followed me around with a camera for 8 days and they made the show 30 minutes. Don't you think a little...
I'm sure that they can...
on the floor there, maybe?
Yeah, I'm sure they could do that, too. It's just the way they presented you just seems completely...
I think we could all agree. Don't pity the biggins. Let's not pity the biggins.
Hey, amen.
Well, they have a wonderful family. They have a wonderful life.
Okay, because that's what I thought, too. I just want to say my comments on that.
Okay, see you later.
Thank you, Sarah.
Okay, thank you very much.
And let's not pick on Tammy because she can't cook and maybe she's a little too comfortable.
All right, hold on. Here is Doug, also from California. Doug, you're on with Tammy from Training Spouses. What's happening, dude?
Hey, this lady is a robo snob.
Oh, now wait a minute. Now hold on. Tammy,
stop the assault.
Do you really know me, honey? Do you really know me?
Hold on just wait a minute. Hold on, sir. Hold on, sir. I want to ask Tammy. Tammy, are you getting this a lot? Obviously, you've done some other radio shows. Are you getting this a lot from people?
Of course I am, because that's the way that they made me out to be. I'm the bad guy. I'm the Erica Kane of reality shows. And you saw 30 minutes of 8 days, and that's...
Hey, what about the
hold on. Doug, very simply, what is your question?
I don't have a question. It's just that she's just a robo-snob. She's sitting there blow-drying her hair and having the kids sit in the closet every time the fuse breaks.
Doug, isn't it possible?
Because of all the equipment that was plugged in from the production company.
Now, hold on. No. I must say something in Tammy's behalf here.
Yeah.
I've seen the scene that Fox sent over that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Whenever she's going to plug in the blow dryer, the fuse breaks. So what she says to one of the kids is, go downstairs by the fuse box, and every time I plug the hair dryer in...
The kid's in the closet.
Well, is that where the
room was?
Where the fuse box was, sir. Come on.
He didn't lock her in the closet the way I want to lock my kid in the closet.
That's how it was on the show.
No. Listen, I saw the clip. It was very... you know what she said? Go in the closet where the fuses are, and when it goes off, turn the fuse back on. I thought it was a funny part of the show. I didn't think she came off as a snob. My thought would be... Honey, use
watch the show. That's all I got to say.
Use a towel.
What did you say about the show, Doug?
Just watch the show, and you'll agree with me tomorrow morning.
But, Doug, isn't it possible that the editing of the show, that they cut out the good things about Tammy and left in the bad things to make you think that she's a bad person? Is that possible?
It could be, but I doubt it.
All right.
Wow. Welcome to reality television.
Hold on.
Watching a TV show for 30 minutes. Of course it's possible, and that's exactly what they did. But that's okay.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
What are you going to do?
I think everybody's got a point. Do you think at the end of the whole run of the show, Tammy, that people might feel differently about you?
I don't know, because I haven't seen the end of the show. But from the clips and from what I've seen... Next week, I'm going to be a really big villain.
Hold on, Tammy. I think I do have one positive call for you. Here is Matt in Iowa. Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, hey, Don and Mike show. What's happening?
I'm going
guys, Tammy is a definite MILF. MILF.
Oh, that's a compliment. So you're a hottie, right, Tammy?
What's an MILF?
Well, you can't say it on
the air. Someone wants to tell you after we get out. Listen, Fox is telling us your time is up with us. So Tammy,
but it means that you're an attractive woman.
Yeah, that was a compliment, Tammy. Yes.
Well,
definitely
thank you very
much. Okay, thank you. Oh, and Tammy, one last thing before you go. For a prize, can you name this rap artist?
Hold on. Take a listen.
I'll give you a hint. The first word of this, the name is Cool.
Magoo. Cool Hand Luke.
There
you go.
No, I'm sorry.
It's Cool Modi, but still we will ask everybody to watch Trading Spouses tonight, 8, 7 Central, then a new episode tomorrow on Fox. Tammy, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good luck to you.
Like a doctor when I rock the mic.
How are you anyway?
Cool Modi.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, video. Turning Japanese.
Wow.
So there she is, Tammy Nakamura.
Boy, I tell you, we've had a lot of reality people on. Is that an ad for the show or what?
Oh, yeah.
You want to go on? I want to watch it right now.
You know, the only word that and she was nice, you know, as nice as those type come.
What does that mean?
Well, no, she was, I mean, really, since she's evil, she came across as kind of hard.
Listen, here's the thing. White trash. I'm going to have to watch the show myself to see how rich. But it's entirely possible to be rich and be white trash.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Hold on. What is this? Perhaps it's something.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video. Tom Monroe from his latest disc entitled Tom Monroe on a New Wavelength.
Thank you.
And that's a pretty thing called Turning Japanese.
That's Tammy from the Fox show.
Wow.
There she goes. Hold on. Boy, everybody, I guess a lot of people watched that dumb show last week. Bonnie?
Yes.
Hi, did you watch this show last week, Trading Spouses?
I did watch it, and I just wanted to say, too, that it's such a huge understatement for her to say that she's not rich. And I wanted to say one thing real quick about the editing.
Yeah?
When the black mom was in their house and they introduced her to their dog, they said, oh, here's our dog, and she said, oh, I have a dog, too. And they showed this white and Japanese family's dog swimming in the pool and running around in the house, and then they pan back to the black family's dog, and he's tied up in like a little pen, and he's like crying when they showed it. So they made a deal out of the
money. Hold on.
Exactly.
I sure am tired. I am tied to a rope. Only because my mommy and daddy are black.
Look at the
white man. Oh, not even the white man.
The Asian man.
The Asian man and the white woman. Look at that dog. Swimming in the pool.
Good old Fox.
Wow.
That's exactly what they did.
Never overestimate the Fox Network.
Hello there. This am the black dog. You may notice I am tied to the tree with a rope. The white dog am swimming in a pool.
Oh, this show sounds like something else.
Wow.
All right. Thank you, Bonnie.
Wow.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. See you later. I had no idea so many people watched that show.
Pretty incredible. Maybe.
Hello, Don and Mike. Was another call about this stupid show? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, you're on the air. Are you calling about this show, too?
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah. She kept saying that she, you know, they only showed a half an hour of it, and a half an hour. They showed the full hour. Yeah, they cut it up and everything, but yeah, I understand they cut shows and make them crazy, but she's a little bit crazier still.
Man, this lady may be the new uber villain as far as reality.
But here's the thing that worried me about her, that she referred to herself as such a, I am the Erica Kane.
I'm the new Erica Kane.
She's embraced that.
There you go.
And I'm not saying she's a good person, but I worry about how editing can actually manipulate people's opinions, and I think the dog was a perfect example.
And I don't care
because they mentioned the MILF factor.
Hello, Brian? Don and Mike show. Brian.
I think she was wonderful, and I like having her money in Beverly Hills Bank.
he was just doing some Milburn Drysdale for us.
Oh, that's the Beverly Hills Savings and Loan.
Thank you to Tammy Nakamura.
Ms. Nakamura, this is Milburn Drysdale. We'd love to have you and your Japanese husband's money down at the Beverly Hills Savings and Loan.
And this is Scott Stratus. Good morning to the very dirt poor bigots. How are you doing this morning?
Well, for God's sake, uncage that dog.
Hello, Jerry, Don, and Mike. Jerry.
Hey.
Hey.
You're missing the best character in the whole show is Tammy's
mother-in-law who lives with him, and she's Japanese. And she's their little slave. She does all the cooking, all the housework. And the Japanese guy leaves the house. He says, make sure Tammy is taken care of today.
No rating.
I am not kidding.
You know, I had no idea.
Oh, Lord.
I had no idea all you people were watching this show. And you know that there's an ABC,
right.
There's an ABC show,
right,
that Fox is getting some bad press on.
Right.
Called, you know, Trading Spouses, or was
the Fox show.
This is Trading Spouses. The other one is something
like Wife Swap.
Wife Swap.
That's it. They all feed off of one another.
And ABC is mad that Fox has already come out with it.
All right.
Thank you, dude.
Sure.
See you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Interesting.
Key Rice. That's a lot. A lot on one dumb reality show.
No.
That wasn't the Weather Girl, was it?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Ooh. That would be early.
We're getting close to the Weather Girl calling.
Are you getting excited and nervous?
Am I? Hello, Dustin.
Having a good time.
Hello, Dustin.
Hello. This is the woman's husband. Dog must stay in shape. Swimming pool, that dog no taste good.
Whatever. Right. Whatever. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
There's a scene tonight, Don. You got to watch the show.
Okay.
She's complaining. She's hungry, really hungry. And so they make her a BLT sandwich.
Yeah.
She eats this thing. You got to watch her eating it. She's eating like a dog that hasn't eaten in a week.
Everybody's talking about that broad we just had on. Tammy?
Class bitch.
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
Thank you, my friend.
You bet.
See ya.
Sandwich? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Go listen to yourself on the radio.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a ringing endorsement for that show tonight.
I guess so.
Buzz?
Yes.
I know it's late notice, but I'm afraid we'll have to cancel on our plans tonight.
Yes, I understand. You've got to watch the show.
I can't meet you and your wife for your 29th wedding anniversary. You're going to have to go home tonight. Watch Trading Spouses.
Perhaps I can T-vote for you.
Now, please do. When we come back, Mike was in Boston this weekend. We've not even heard about that.
Oh, what a trip.
And the girl from KCBS is supposed to be calling
Lisa
shortly.
Joiner.
Joiner. Mm-hmm. Baby, be right back, everybody.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of suspenders tonight.
Is this black?
I know it. That's quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces Radio over in Iraq?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick, Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them. Let's take a call. Cape California. Hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Don Imus. How you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or out of... Not on the air in New York, Don.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike.
I think that's where they originated from, yeah.
Yeah. Las Vegas, hello.
Yep. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Okay.
A colossal waste of time.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay. So this should be a dream segment for me.
Right. I would think so.
Playing my favorite record of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because I'm pathetic and a loser, I live in Washington. We do a national radio show that is broadcast to 44 cities.
Right.
Los Angeles ain't one of those cities.
No, it's not. Not even close.
No. Bakersfield, Fresno.
Sacramento.
Sacramento. That's our big piece of California.
Right.
Oh, San Francisco. We're on the station that doesn't show up in the ratings.
That's true.
So, I only point this out. Why would I be interested in Los Angeles? Our show's never going to be on there.
Mm-hmm.
I get the West Coast feed
right.
of the TV networks.
Right.
And I watch Channel 2 in California because all the people are better looking than they are on the station here. I mean, with the exception of the schlub guy, that the anchor guy.
Right.
All the women are just beautiful.
Yeah, no.
And they got personality, and they're not like the tight asses on the stations around here. And, you know, this girl that I've fallen in what is
like.
Fallen in TV like with is not, for instance, like Julianne Barbary. I've talked about this girl's clothes, this woman's clothes.
Right.
She wear like the belly shirts and the Britney stuff, but she definitely wears stuff that is...
makes you more interested in the weather.
Provocative on television.
Makes you interested in the Los Angeles weather that doesn't affect you personally at all.
Same every day.
Not at all. And I notice sometimes it's so darn chilly on the set there. She's wearing like something with spaghetti straps, and then she'll have to wear a sweater. And when we were in Las Vegas not long ago, when I was flipping around one of the channels on Mandalay Bay, it was one of those, let's meet what's happening in Las Vegas things. Anyway, I said to Frida, I said, hey, look it. That's that woman from the station in Los Angeles.
Lisa Joyner.
Like doing an infomercial.
Right.
So Frida had the chance to look her up and down. I told you, last week she walked in the room when I was watching, you know, I was just sitting at my desk doing work.
And she knew exactly what you were doing, knew that you were in TV like with this woman.
What are you
right?
doing? I'm watching this lady on TV. So now, anyway, Beth Ann, because she's a great producer, called her up. And now this won't be too friggin' awkward.
So, well, I think you've professed your love for her, and I think that's okay.
She'll be pleased.
She's going to think I'm a dope. No. Well, I am a dope.
She'll
because
be flattered.
I have a big dope. Anyway, is she there?
Don, that was the longest setup in the history of radio.
Well, honey, I got four hours a day to fill. So, hi there.
Hi.
I watch you. Listen, I want to tell you.
Look at your face.
I want to tell you.
Look at your face right now.
I'm not.
You're all giddy.
I'm not a creep, and I'm not a.
Why are you? Are you really explaining yourself to this?
I'm not a creep, and I'm not a stalker, and I've been married for 23 years, and I'm very happy, and I'm.
Why don't you tell her about the Lisa Joyner shrine that you have in your house?
Stop. And I'm.
What is it with your unhealthy obsession with women of questionable ethnic background on television?
Yeah, that seems to be a theme today, doesn't it?
I don't know. All I know is that. And I've mentioned your name to Leslie Moonves when we had him on this show.
Yes. What was his take?
I believe that you, didn't you say something along the line of get her to the the network?
Yes, I said that you're one of the bright stars for CBS. Anyway, how creepy is it that I'm a disc jockey that you've never heard of, whose show you will never hear, yet I watch you on television in the morning?
Oh, it's not creepy. It just means that you have a lot of time. That's all it means.
He makes
time. And you enjoy watching people say sunny and hot. Back to you.
I do, and I've got it down to such a science. I kind of know when you're going to be on.
Well, maybe she can verify if you've got your times right.
Don, you've just got to prove to me that you do actually watch.
Okay, let's see. Now, for instance, last week you had fires out there. So you're going to start. Remember, 5 o'clock your time is 8 o'clock my time. So I'm up. I'm already wired, ready for work. I'm watching, writing, reading the newspaper. So I see wildfires in Southern California. Let's go. They'll throw it to you first. On a day when the weather is simply going to be nice, you might come on at 7 or 8 after the hour. You get a bigger spiel around 23 after the hour. And in the 6 o'clock hour, you always get a little spot at about 10 till 7 where you get to do like some entertainment junk, and you get to say who did good at the box office.
You know, now you've succeeded in frightening me.
okay, winner, ding,
winner.
You know what the funny thing is, Don?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
It wasn't going so well?
Oh, no.
Great.
No, we played a sound effect that I think drowned you out.
Oh, I got you. The funny thing is that you know my hit times, better than I do.
Uh-oh.
I'm often flying into the set at the last second.
Yeah, I know. I can tell that about you. You have a just walked on the set look. No, that's a compliment. That's a compliment. So the way that I look at the news there on Channel 2 in California is that you're who you are, and then you've got the traffic girl who she is, and then you've got, you know, the tight-ass woman who's the anchor lady, and then the guy...
Now, I wouldn't say that at all.
I know, that was me saying it, not you.
She's delightful.
And then you've got the guy, that anchor guy, who looks like he could be on The Simpsons.
Yeah, I think it was fashioned after him.
Yes. Kent Shocknick, and what's actually funny is at the end, because see... in Washington, where we broadcast from, and all the other markets that we broadcast to, they don't have news like in Los Angeles. Like at the end, where it's like a roundtable thing, where they go, "I'm Kent, and I'm Jennifer, and I'm Lisa, and I'm Vera, and you have a choice for news in the morning." Blah 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 blah. And meanwhile, they're all just these beautiful women on television, yeah. All of them just saying, "Hi, look at me."
So Lisa,
well, you know, the news is kind of secondary.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely it is. Hold on.
I worked in a real market, though. I worked in a real station near you guys.
Really?
In Norfolk, Virginia.
Oh, you worked. We're out of Norfolk. Where did you work in Norfolk?
Well, I worked in Wavy TV, of course.
And is that where you got your start, Lisa?
That was my second job.
Okay.
Do you know Les Smith?
Yes, I do.
Les Smith is my cousin.
No, he is not.
Now that's Rob. That's not me. That's another guy on our show, Lisa. But his... But he is your cousin.
Yeah, he is actually my wife's cousin.
I dated him.
Oh, he's dated everybody.
Oh, my Rob.
He has.
Your cousin dated Lisa?
I guess he did. I
dated him for a year and a half.
Wow. Oh, a year and a half was a real relationship, Rob.
Yeah.
You must be thrilled.
Yeah, okay.
He's like the Les Nessman of Norfolk, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's slightly better looking.
More attractive and very, very competent.
Lisa, this is Mike. We haven't met. Don speaks very highly
of
you.
Mike.
I do not have the West Coast speed, so I'm not able to enjoy this. But can I get some vital information from you, please?
Absolutely, Mike.
Your current marital status, please.
That would be single.
She is single.
Well, don't I know? I've never seen a ring.
Are you currently involved with anyone right now?
Oh, I'm so not. It's actually real dry out there right now.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, just like the weather.
How do you feel about married guys who live 3,000 miles away? I mean, listen, I'm totally married up, and I'm fat, and I'm really a kind of a nutcase, but...
No, heard you're terribly handsome.
Look at my picture on the web and think about it. If you ever think, you know...
Consider.
I mean, if you ever get really down on your luck, you know, and you're thinking, who could I call who would make me feel better? You could call me, and I'll always say you're great. And really, I think you deserve better than doing the morning weather on KCBS.
Well, you know what? That was a choice, that 3 o'clock in the morning wake-up call. I'm a little crazy, too. No, but it's a great opportunity. I mean, where can you just freestyle it like that for 2 hours?
That's great. I mean, that's...
What about your show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could come on our show on a regular basis.
Well, but it doesn't make much sense since we're not really heard in Los Angeles. Although, hold on. I got a guy in Baltimore who watches the West Coast feed.
Ah.
Hold on. Richard in Baltimore on Live 105. Richard?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey.
Hey, I just want to say, Don, you're not by yourself. Lisa Joyner, I remember her from... You remember on Fox Sports Net, they used to have their own NFL show?
Yes, I did. I did NFL this morning.
Fox 11 in Los Angeles. That was the only reason I watched that show with her. I think they had Jay Moore on there. And that was the only reason I watched her, man. She's smoking hot.
Smoking hot, you know. Yeah, see, I'm not that crude.
That's
but
a compliment.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you are smoking hot.
Now, Don, this must make for really good radio when nobody has seen me or aside from Mike.
You know, here's the thing. I bet, even though we're not on in Los Angeles, and I'm sure that you don't know us from frickin' frack on the radio dial out there, I bet your KCB, what's your website for your station?
Is it KCBS.com.
I bet you get 50,000 hits this afternoon.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what? I'm lying. It's CBS2.com.
CBS2.com.
Oh, you will get some hits today.
Write to this girl and tell her how long I've been saying I love her and that she's good. And that
months
she,
and months,
you know, and
months.
And listen, I'm going to speak. I want to say something to you now. You could replace Leah Remedy on King of Queens in a heartbeat.
I know, Leah.
You think it's time for the
sitcom? So do we.
Yeah, we have a relationship with Leah also.
Do we.
Yes.
Well,
it hasn't gone exactly well lately.
How did it go the last time we spoke?
Shut up! Yes, that's kind of what happened there. It was all when she filmed her, when she taped her wedding.
Oh, for the E! Channel.
We kind of gave her a hard time, and it ended at that. It ended rather abruptly.
But you could do anything besides the wedding. I think you're very talented, and I just want to say hello, and just so you know that there's a perv watching you.
Well, I appreciate that. Usually the sorts of people I'm looking, you know, from my rearview mirror, and I'm kind of nervous. But...
Right. Yeah, the pervs normally don't have someone call your office to schedule an appointment for an interview.
But
that was ingenious.
You're a safe distance away, I think.
What is it, Don? What does your wife, your lovely wife, think of this obsession?
She...
Well, let's call her right now.
Hello?
Yeah, hold on. I'm calling my wife. She walked in.
Oh, the phone happens to be busy.
Hold on. I got to call in line 2. I think
They don't pay enough for call waiting?
Oh, no. Yeah, but never mind. It's long. I got a 19-year-old kid who's on the phone all the time.
I'm sorry. The person you are calling does not wish to talk with callers who block their number.
Hold on. I blocked my number?
I think we blocked our number. But if we're keeping track here, we have some vital personal information on Lisa that she is not married and she is currently single.
That's what right. else do you need, Mike? Social?
Likes, dislikes.
Hello?
Baby.
I know. I hear you. I'm glad you're happy, my darling.
Now, listen, this lady, this TV lady, asked me if you knew, and you walked in on Friday when I was watching this.
Yeah, and she's being very kind to you and saying that she hears you're handsome and all that stuff.
When I was watching her, true or false, Frida, you walked in the room the other day, I said, this is the girl from Los Angeles. And you said something like, you're stupid. Yeah, I mean, you said something that to me.
I thought she was cute.
Yeah, but no, you said, I'm stupid.
And I don't mean to talk about you in the third person. You are cute. I mean, but I'm not, it doesn't bother, my husband's fantasy life really doesn't give me any sleepless nights.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So you know what that means translated? I'm available.
That means if you want him, well, we can negotiate a deal.
Wow, she's willing to make a deal.
I'll be the more affluent after it. I guarantee you.
Thank you. Yeah. Right. There you go. So that's
well,
my
you got a good sport there. You should hang on to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, see how full of compliments she is, darling.
Yes, I see, baby.
She thinks you're handsome and I'm a good sport. She's very misguided.
All right, bye, baby. I love you. I'll see you.
Okay, I love you too. Bye, Sarah.
Bye-bye. And look at that. Buzz went to KCBS. Look at how cute she is.
Lisa wore a lovely purple top this morning.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, I could have told you that. Yeah.
And it's even a better website than they have for stations around here.
Yeah. Anyway, you're really good, and I talk about you all the time on our show just because
thank you. Well,
I'm
retarded
like that.
Look for a talk show soon.
All right, Lisa, don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. Now that I know, I'll call you tomorrow this time.
Sure you will. God, would you please?
Okay, I got to go get sushi.
Okay. All right, goodbye.
Bye, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There she goes. He likes sushi, too.
Mm.
She was very, very pleasant.
She is smoking.
Yeah. Do you have any questions you'd like me to pass along to my cousin Lex?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't tell you how long... I've known Robbie a long time and got to know him and his family. Now, this is one guy I've never met. He's the guy, he's the Tom Brokaw of Norfolk.
He really
Norfolk.
Is. He's like the king of the Norfolk television
right.
stations. And, yeah, he has dated a lot of people.
I'd like to ask him about his relationship with Lisa Joyner.
I'm sure he'd be very delighted to talk about it.
Is he married now?
Is he married now?
No, I don't think he'll ever marry.
Really? One of those guys?
Yeah.
Hi there. I'm an anchorman.
What did you say it was the NBC station in Norfolk?
Yeah, Wavy.
Wavy?
Yeah.
I wear a tie up top and shorts on the bottom.
That's right. Hi, Les. How are you?
When it's hot, that's how I do the news.
So here's a guy in Toronto. What's your beef? It says has a beef with you, too.
Oh, no.
Robert in Toronto. Robert.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing very well,
Phil. You got you babbling buffoons are always picking on us Canadians. Why? Explain that to me.
Man, we've just had a deal. We're in the middle of a TV hottie moment here, sir.
What do you mean? We've not babbled about Canada today. In the beginning part of the show today, we said that our computers are fixed because of something to do with Canada.
Yes, they called Canada.
Canada fixed our problem.
Well, actually, Canada caused the problem before they did it.
That's Rob.
Always causing the problem.
And also the problem with Canadians is as follows. You have purposely developed all of the land closest to the American border because you're planning an attack.
But your Navy couldn't sink a little...
But 85% of your population lives within 15 miles of the border.
Coincidence?
It's a chill out, my friend. But I'm glad to know that you have it in perspective about how great your country is.
Right.
Whatever it was that you just said.
If the medical care here is much superior to what you have down there.
Well, you're going to need it if you try a war.
Well, actually, you know what? One of the facts is that our Canadian Air Force fighter planes pilots are actually the best in the entire world.
Yeah.
Says who?
They're doing great because they all got new rubber bands.
Says who? Says who they're the best in the world? I say the Americans are the best in the world.
No, the Canadians are the best fighter jet pilots.
This is how it starts. I want everybody to stop right now because Rob's right about the war.
According
this is
to
how
who?
It's going to start.
According to who? Though the Canadians are the best fighter jet pilots.
Wayne Gretzky. Gordon Lightfoot.
Ann Murray. Brian Adams.
Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek.
Peter Jennings.
Michael J. Fox, Paul Schaefer,
Marty Short.
We got some of the best sharpshooters in the world as well.
Best sharpshooters.
Mike Myers.
Absolutely.
And,
of course, not Adam Sandler, as I've
said
before.
Oh, that's right. All right, see you, Canada guy. Goodbye.
See you in the war.
So long, jolly Norseman.
Hey, what are you talking about? We're here to back you guys up, just only on important issues.
Important issues.
Yeah, right. Right, okay, gotcha.
Don't conjugate your French verbs.
Absolutely.
Keep feeling good about your country, and keep feeling good about your FCC. Listen to this.
Make sure Bush actually goes after the right guys next time.
Oh, my, here it goes.
Hey, you got to...
And it begins.
And when
Shouldn't you go off and curl?
And what do you got? You still got a queen?
Just like Howard.
Pardon me?
Big fan, just like Howard is in the morning about Mr. Bush.
Okay, listen, whatever your deal is with Bush and Howard, that's between you and Bush and Howard, and we're certainly no supporters of Bush on this show.
No, we're not.
But what kind of half-assed queen/prince do you have in your country? I mean, I know it's supposed to be like a copy of our election.
No. I've read up on it. The country's actually ruled by a lion with a crown.
No.
Like on the Isle of Misfit Toys.
Actually, they're all lying.
Why do all your guys wear those powdered wigs?
All right. Have you had your fill today, Dudley Do-Right?
Hey, you got it, big guys. You have a great one.
All right, very good.
Hey, don't feel bad, USA Light. No. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry.
I can look myself in the mirror in the morning.
All right, take care, eh?
Bye.
Keep listening to an American radio station in Canada.
Bye. There's one. That's the winning point.
And what I was going to mention about the FCC in Canada.
Right.
We would never, if our show was licensed to a station in Canada, like 1050 Chum or Chum FM in Toronto, where these people are hearing us on the Buffalo station,
right.
We'd be killed because they got, from my limited understanding of the FCC in Canada, they've got no problem with sexual content.
Mm-hmm.
They've got no problem with excretory content, all the stuff that we had to change on our show.
Right.
Here's why we'd get killed.
Mm-hmm.
They take great offense and will discipline disc jockeys and fire them for saying people are stupid.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah,
it's our whole show.
You could get on and you could describe any sexual act and you'd be okay. You get on and say, boy, that guy is just a jerk face. I wish he'd just dig a hole and fall all the way through the hell. The next day, you know, you get called in. The FCC's writing you a letter.
Yeah, but we can use our number one defense, though.
What's that?
One that we say that we are stupid, too.
I know.
That should make it all better.
And I'm sure there are stupid DJs in Canada as well, but if that's not like the most bass-ackwards plan I've heard.
We just did a 20-minute interview with a lady no one can see that listens to us. We're stupid, too. Give us a break, Canada.
But me like that girl.
Canada.
Me like her. Oh, here's Robert in Sacramento. Robert.
Hey guys. How are you?
Hi there.
Good. Kent Shocknick, Lisa's co-anchor, he's infamous for... during a live broadcast during an earthquake in L.A. for diving under his desk.
Oh, he's that guy?
Oh.
He's that guy. That's the guy. That's Kent Shocknick, and that's what he's famous for. And, yes, Lisa is hot. And, Mike, good game yesterday, huh?
Absolutely. Oh, I'll be telling you all about it.
All right.
I love it. All right, guys. I love you.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.
See you later. Got a break. Find out about Mike's weekend in Boston when we come.
Kent Shocknick was there.
Right.
Is the Don and Mike Show. Is the Don and Mike Show.
So crazy someplace else.
Right.
We're all stocked up here.
The Don and Mike Show. Listen, rinse, repeat. The Don and Mike Show.
For those of you listening to us on WJFK FM, show just keeps getting better.
Absolutely.
Every once in a while, you're going to hear a time during the commercial set that you just heard where Rob leans over and says to me, computer crashed. We got about 30 seconds. We can't do anything.
Yeah. Well, the computer didn't crash so much as it just chose not to play a spot. And I'm not as fleet with the keyboard yet that I can throw it in very quickly.
Very good.
So you get the local program.
So we had 30 seconds to fill it. I think we did like a time check. And
I think we proved that we're broadcast professionals.
Graphic. Yeah, thanks. So, Mike, thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for.
We're pros. Look it up on the book.
You're $600 on the line right now.
Wow.
With the new Big Money Secret Sound. And I think you deserve a clue this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, you gave some last week, but you haven't given any what I'd like to call, hard clues.
And, Mike, this one is rock hard.
Very good.
Cat couldn't scratch this clue.
Blue steel?
Mm-hmm. Good. Here's your clue.
I'm hearing them like everybody else.
Hygiene. Hygiene is your clue.
Mm.
This is... Oh, Rob's
unhappy.
Don't hate me because I've given out the sound. Here's the sound. Your clue is hygiene. Identify the sound right now and win $600 if you are the 100th caller at 877-365-3636. You don't have it?
Hmm.
Do two. Okay, what is it?
I don't know.
While you're calling,
good bluff.
This is great.
They call me poker.
This is great. China. I'm watching. I don't know what the channel is I'm watching. You know, here's the thing with Lance Armstrong and the fact that the Tour de France for a lot of the weekend was on the Outdoor Life channel.
Right. Tour de France.
Right. Oh, excuse me. And it's in that block of channels that I never really look at.
Yeah.
So at one point I get on CNBC Asia.
Right.
Where they're following the Asian markets. And they end up going to a news program.
Uh-huh.
And it's a story about these chimps, these monkeys, at a zoo in Beijing.
Uh-huh.
And the problem is that the mama has decided that she doesn't want anything to do with these newborns.
Mm-hmm.
So what they have done is they got women. Now, this is where I have to remember we do a different type of show as
right.
we used to.
Yeah, I think I know where you're going with this.
But the headline that I saw on the bottom of the screen said, women offer breast milk to chimps.
Yes.
And as it turns out, there are lots of women, lots of Chinese women who want to help out. And the way that I thought the story was being presented was that the women would go to the zoo and would
actually pick up the chimps and
nurse the monkeys,
bring them to them, and
yes, and as it turns out, it turns out nothing could be further. What they are doing,
I would say, if they did it your way, they were going to lose something.
What they are doing is going and filling up. They're using
pumping,
a breast pump.
Yeah.
The only drawback to this, though, is that the monkeys are getting hungry in 30 minutes.
Really?
Not like with Chinese food.
So
you know, it's a Chinese food, Mike.
I missed that. All right.
That was a joke. But that was a real story.
Yeah.
From
CNBC. I saw that story, too.
Now,
I'm thirsty again.
Keep in mind.
Make sure you give me the right amount. Lancelot Link, secret chimp. That's good. Give me some more milk. I require it.
So the NFL, listen, the NFL starts very soon. I'm so excited.
Who's going to breastfeed now, Marta?
There's something like 10, 13 days, a very small amount, less than 2 weeks until the first preseason game.
Right.
And the NFL Network's going to have something like 58 games on for the preseason. If you're like
wow.
me, and if you're a dope who would actually sit through four quarters of the Arizona Cardinals playing the Houston Texans.
On the NFL channel?
Yeah.
I can't imagine who would do that.
You're looking at it.
Well, I was talking to a like-minded guy that actually was saying that he does that outside.
J-Dubs and that killer Detroit Lions.
I think he may have watched four games this weekend.
You know, I bet he's like me and he watches the replay games, the old games.
Yeah,
so here are some facts about the NFL. The TV contracts are set for this year and next year,
right.
But they're starting to renegotiate now. Here are things that are being talked about in the NFL. See how you feel about some of these changes, which will probably happen.
Right.
Monday Night Football will no longer be on ABC.
I think that's, ESPN does such a good job, I think that's going to be a good thing. Yeah.
Right. Then you have the Sunday night games. So if ESPN takes over Monday Night Football, the thought is NBC wants back in, NBC then buys Monday Night Football. There is also...
Well, wait a minute. I thought Monday Night Football was just going to go to ESPN.
Monday Night Football goes to ESPN. ESPN has Sunday Night Football. So if Monday Night Football goes from ABC to ESPN,
yes.
The Sunday night game on ESPN is then up for grabs.
You said Monday night. So
sorry.
The Sunday night game
I'm confused.
NBC wants the Sunday night game.
Yeah, but wait, there's more nights involved.
Hmm.
And this is where it gets down to networks like USA, TNT, FX. The NFL wants to show Thursday night games in November and December on these cable channels.
No.
Plus,
I don't
there's like... plus there's the thought that both CBS and Fox want to do. and it's especially Fox wanting to do this more than CBS,
right.
Going to the NFL and saying, listen, we're going to throw so much money on you. We want the NFC and the AFC. We want all the games.
Ooh.
We want on Sunday, if you're going to watch a game in freaking Kansas City or if you're going to watch it in Green Bay, it's going to be on Fox.
Wow. Well, do you think they're going to be able to pull it off?
Sure, and the thing that helps this idea is that CBS heard about this. CBS then goes to the NFL and says, hey, if Fox says they can do it, we can do it too.
Oh, it's going
to
get crazy. So it's going to be a huge bidding war for one network getting all the NFL games?
Mm-hmm. Could happen. Wow. Let me see. And then, God damn, they pay a lot of money for this. $17 billion a year or something like that.
It's a ridiculous amount for
each team. And everything I read about this, people are questioning, you know, when will we be footballed out? Who will watch this? Well, you're looking at a guy who would watch this. You're looking at a guy who would watch something on channel 220, whatever the USA Network
is. So you'd watch it on one of those lesser networks.
Crappy networks, yeah. I remember NFL Sunday Nitro? When TNT had the games and they did a really awful job of it.
Oh no!
I know you don't. Mm-hmm. John Kerry throws like a girl. You were at the game. Did you see him throw?
John Kerry threw like a girl. He threw a soft toss, and if the guy, it did bounce in front of the plate. So there's really no way around, you know, the way he threw it. The guy, the military guy, the war hero that he was throwing it to, you know, could have stood up, but he was in a squatting position, and so he wasn't able to get the ball. I've seen better, I've seen worse.
Anyway, he was in Boston. Mike was in Boston doing the thing with, and Mike, now you tell me, because I was watching it on TV.
Right.
I saw when Kerry came out. It was like half mixed, at least what I heard on TV, boos and cheers.
Yeah, I was sitting next to a guy that was, booing.
But when he one-hopped it,
right?
Yeah, it was pretty unanimous.
Yeah, everybody was kind of saying, "Come on."
And he didn't throw it from the mound, right? Didn't he do that?
No, he threw it a little short.
So,
but it was. Here's the deal. I was there. I watched the way he threw it, and what he did was. I think, frankly, I mean, you're dealing with a guy that is 6 foot. What is he, 6'4" or
very
something
tall.
Like that? He's
John
a tall
Kerry.
Guy.
Yeah.
I think if he had really wanted to bring the heat, he would have. It was a war hero that was catching that. I think he could have, but no, he failed miserably in the toss. And then sometimes what they'll do is they'll throw the ball back to him and they'll give him another one, but no, he quit while he was behind, and he put the fist up in the air, and that was that. But I'll tell you. You know, before I even saw him arrive, you knew he was there because you had the media crush, and you want to see the media, the cameramen behave like wild animals. It was you knew something special was going to happen.
George Eads.
And Rob told me that he's 8'9". So that's about right.
George Eads is back with CSI. So everybody, please stop the letter writing.
Yes.
Stop the calling. Stop calling your congresspeople.
And he's going to be Evel Knievel.
Yes, he is. This weekend on TNT.
Wow.
It's the whole thing that he wanted more money. And, you know, the girl with the gap tooth wanted more money. Then I'm reading about The Sopranos. Now, listen to this. You know it's not going to be back until 2006.
Which is ridiculous.
Okay. We, boy, oh, boy. We did some research. The Sopranos, when it originally started, the first season, when that season ended, there were 8 months between season one and season two.
Which we thought at the time was ridiculous.
We thought at that time, 8 months. Why are we waiting 8 months?
Insane.
8 months. Mm-hmm. Between season two and season three, it went from 8 months to 11 months.
Mm-hmm.
In between season three and season four, it went to 16 months. HBO complained about this.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of season four, they said, we will bring it in at under 16 months. They brought in season five in 15 months.
Oh, isn't that big of a matrix?
And now with season five being over, the minimum wait, if they get it on the air in January 2006, that, my friends, is 18 months from now.
That is ridiculous.
And we will all wait for The Sopranos.
I do not get it.
For it to come on.
You know.
Hi, Dynamite.
Hi, Tony.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll wait.
We will wait. And everybody will be into seeing it again.
That's right. That's a quote from an HBO guy. Said it's like Harry Potter. You'll wait and you'll enjoy it.
Oh, hold on. And I just have to ask Joe his thoughts about this. Oh, come on. Hey, Joe, pick up the phone. Joe Ardinger in the back room. I need to talk to, or come on in, Joe, if you're around. I need to speak with
Joe Ardinger.
World's oldest phone screener, great reader, Joe Ardinger. Hey, Joe, and Joe, hey, how about Joe's new haircut?
Hey, way to go.
Haircut.
Finally, huh?
Mr. Conservative.
Joe?
Yes.
You know, I wanted to talk to you anyway. I would love to tomorrow do an episode on this show, do a segment, Stump the Joe.
Yes.
But we need to know in advance, and think about this before the end of the show, what your area of expertise would be for tomorrow's show. I know we've done it with the Stones before.
Rolling Stones, he loves the Stones.
And with Seinfeld. But think about if there's another...
Well, Fast Times, we did it with Fast Times. Seinfeld I wasn't that good at.
Yeah. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, he's talking about.
Right.
But think about it between now and the end of the show. Something else that you could stand up tomorrow against our listeners and play Stump the Joe.
Chicken. Well, I'm sure I'm not going to surprise you, Don, but I don't know a whole lot.
I know, but,
but I know a lot of little things about a lot of little things.
All right, well, then think about that. And I'll tell you one thing that I know you do know
a lot. It's a shallow pool, but it's a big pool.
Hey, hold on. Seriously. Joe, what about, like, home repair?
Oh, okay, sure.
Wasn't there a time when you, like, were painting your kitchen? Or...
I was a general contractor. I was a painting contractor for 12 years.
Right.
And I did a lot of general within that, too.
Were you a crafty craftsman?
Yes, I was.
So, Joe, here's one.
With my tool belt.
Here's why we've asked you into that.
Nothing else, Rob.
One of your passions is the Rolling Stones.
Right. Sure.
And I would like your feedback on this story.
Okay.
Ronnie Wood has checked into a London rehab clinic.
Again.
Oh, no.
Yes. It's for alcoholism.
Right.
Let me see. The last straw was, over the weekend, he crawled under a restaurant table and pretended to bite people's ankles. Also, they told him now, stop smoking because he has lung disease.
Oh, dear.
Your thoughts on Ronnie Wood, how you feeling about him? As a Stones aficionado.
Well, I wish him the best, and I continue to support the band. I know that Ron Wood has had some very serious cocaine issues over the past 25 years. So,
you're so funny.
That
so
was
serious.
Why I went into rehab last time. Was
oh.
the, as Keith Richards put it, they came off the road, and Ronnie didn't quite come off the road.
This is Keith Richards.
It's a John and Mike. And you, when was the last time you crawled under a restaurant table and bit people on the ankles?
Oh, jeez. I don't know, but I woke up in jail.
Did you know that he had quite a weekend?
No.
Did you enjoy it? He went to see one of your favorite bands. You went to see Kiss.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
With who? Who were they playing with?
Poison, as a matter of fact.
It's Kiss and Poison. Perfect. All right.
It's the third Poison concert I've been to in my life. I don't really like admitting that. I don't know how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it to me, I was watching Poison. I was like, hey.
Joe's, you know, Joe's our man about town when it comes to, like, concerts. Yeah. He's fresh off Ozfest.
That's true.
You got an Oscar.
And the Journey Show.
And the Journey Show.
All right, well, Joe, first think about Ron Wood. And then later think about whatever it is that you'd like to play Stump the Joe with tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, very good.
Thank you, Joe.
And here's a job for Joe.
Yeah?
I know we're running out of time here, but I have to tell you, this is something that I saw on, I think, Entertainment Tonight with R. Kelly and Kobe Bryant and all of these celebrities that are being charged with rape or other stuff. They're going back, celebrities are now going back to an idea that was brought to the forefront by Mike Tyson.
Really?
Hmm. It's a job where you are hired by a celebrity to be a sex witness.
Right.
Meaning, if you meet some girl and you bring her back to your room, you say to her, hi, this is Joe Ardinger.
Right.
He's going to sit in the corner. He's not going to participate. He's really not even here, but he's just here to make sure that people know that I didn't rape you.
I know a newsman who's been looking to moonlight.
Yes. And anyway,
I sign up.
This was it's sexwitnesses.com.
Right, sex then. Witness.
You go there, you find yourself a sex witness.
I need a sex witness.
And caller 100. And find this is a feel good. Do you have the feel good music? Because it's very rare that we get a story that really merits a feel-good.
You have a feel-good for us today?
And I saw this one on TV, but it reads even better than seeing it on TV. There's a 55-year-old guy. There was a 55-year-old guy. There is a 55-year-old guy named Robert Johnson.
Uh-huh.
And this is outside Cleveland, Ohio.
Bob Johnson.
Uh-huh. He had emphysema.
Oh.
And he's feeling sick.
Right. Sure.
So he goes to the hospital, and he goes to the emergency room. And he lays down on a couch in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
People pass by this guy all day. Everybody thought he was sleeping.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Yeah.
17 hours later.
Oh.
Nurse checks.
Sure. Hey, we can bounce a quarter off his cheek.
He was discolored.
Sure.
Cold. And dead.
Dead.
That's your feel-good, ladies and gentlemen.
So the guy...
The guy's got emphysema. He goes to the hospital, goes to the emergency room. They say, have a seat. He lays down for 17 hours. Nobody touches him.
Wow.
Until they come by. Wow. Put it back in the room. Load that tape back in. That's a feel good.
Yeah. Who feels good now?
Next.
I feel so good. I need to hire a sex witness.
Can I get a witness?
I feel so good.
Can I get a witness?
Call 100 times. Here we go. Right. Yeah. For a big bus, turn your radio down, please.
Oh, hello. Okay.
Hi there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
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 Hi. What's...
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
What's your name?
My name's Debbie.
Hi, Deb. Where are you from?
I'm from Middletown, Pennsylvania.
Beautiful. What station are you listening on? Any idea?
Yes, W-O-Y-K.
Yeah, right on. Stocky.
Debbie does secret sound.
Let me see. You've won the Showtime Cost Communication Boxing Prize Bag.
Whoa.
Filled with goodies. It's a colostomy bag.
Catch.
Hey, in the new format, that's not funny.
No, not at all.
No. No excuse for that.
That's the Tyson Williams fight Friday night. Oh, and Mike Tyson's the guy that thought up sex witnesses.
I'm a sex witness.
Brilliant.
Well, Mike?
I said I need a sex witness.
Friday night.
I want to shower with
only
you.
Only on demand pay-per-view with Cox Digital Cable. You ready to play now for...
Yeah, you sort of changed my mind when you gave this new clue. Could you please... I'm going to listen to the sound again. And could you please repeat the clue?
Excuse me. Isn't he playing the sound? Come on, it's going to happen.
I'm going to. Let it unfold.
I mean, will you, like, just run over that clue to make sure I got it right? Hygiene?
Yes, hygiene. Well,
you did.
You have got it. You have grasped it.
Do you need anything else, like a cold drink or a comfortable seat?
Would you? And listen, based on my comments with my wife, would you like me to simply hold you and cuddle you, or would you like me to try to help you figure this out logically?
Well, I probably should just ask to be logically helped.
Here's a chance we could play the sound for this woman.
Okay, we're going to play the secret sound now. It's a common everyday sound. Here is your clue, hygiene.
Okay.
That's the clue. Hygiene. We'll play you the sound, give you 15 seconds to think about it.
Okay.
Godspeed and all that stuff for $600.
Caller, name this sound.
Here it comes. There. There it is. Now you got some time to think about it. And this is not like the old secret sound. We're adding money every single day.
Right.
$600. Hold on. Here it is. One more time for you. There it is.
She gets everything she wants.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly changed my mind, and now I'm thinking maybe it's ejecting a razor blade.
Ejecting a razor blade.
Ejecting a razor blade.
Oh, we're stuck.
No, sorry about that. Sorry. Thank you, though. Don't forget every guest.
It's a clue for you.
And that,
right.
that means tomorrow, $700 in the jackpot.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. $700. And just like you could have gotten something like... I don't know. Personality injection. I'm kidding.
Kidding, of course. We're kidding.
I'm kidding.
It sounded different over the phone. Okay. I had right. another
yeah,
guess.
Whatever.
So did you.
But thank you so much.
No problem.
You're very welcome. You know, I'm sure you're not a pushy broad.
No.
I'm sure you're a very nice broad.
I thought she was nice.
Enjoy your boxing bag.
Well, thank you.
And listen, seriously, thank you for listening to the show.
Well, thank you so much. You guys have a great evening.
We shall. You thank you. Hold on.
Bye-bye.
Are you married?
Yes.
I'll pray for your husband.
Uh-oh.
S-O-H.
That's what does that mean, Mike?
Slice of heaven.
Thank you, honey.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, right.
Bye now. We've enjoyed having you on the show.
When we come back, we'll finally have time to talk about your trip to Boston this
week. I'm excited. I want to tell everybody about what happened.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back. Nothing else.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's video from Tom Monroe and his tribute to life in the big city. Downtown's the place to be. From Tom's disc entitled Tom Monroe Sings Petula Clark. Little help from Mike McDonald and the Doobies on that one. On the Jerry Todd Show. Nice to be with you. Whoops, we got the wrong super up there.
Let's try that. On the Jerry Todd Show, there we are. Good morning in the wee small ones of a Saturday morning. We've got some fine video for you and a little chat and hopefully lots of fun. And we'll have some more video for you. But first, let's pay some of those bills.
I watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd.
How are you anyway? Jerry Todd with you. Glad you're along for the ride. Maybe you're at home this morning or at work or just around about anywhere enjoying the fine video. Meantime, let's look after some business. We provide this as kind of a public service of the Jerry Todd Show. It's from the community chest, and it's a lost dog announcement. If you're in the vicinity of Ellesmere and Morningside, be on the lookout for a little lost doggy. If you're in the vicinity, meantime, keep your eyes open for the little doggy, and we'll see what we can do. Meantime, on the Jerry Todd Show, whoops, that's the second time we've done that this morning. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you. Let's see if we can get a different color on that this morning. For these are called supers, you see, because they're in front of the picture. Let's see what we can come up with here. That's kind of nice. I like that. On the Jerry Todd Show, nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you.
Sanitized for your protection. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right, right. Thank you, Jerry Todd. All right, so Mike was in Boston this weekend.
I was.
First, can we get a statement from you about our Red Sox-Yankees bet? Most people know the stakes for our yearly bet.
Friday night, it was a three-game series. Friday night, I was still back here in Washington, and I hadn't left for Boston. And I was very, very depressed because the Red Sox lost to the Yankees. And I think I was indicating to you that based on how the weekend went, I would come in here prepared to concede the bet.
And our annual bet is, as terms set by Mike before the season,
right,
that the Red Sox would win the American League East by
right,
two games.
Yes.
And if they didn't, the loser, either Mike or myself, has to give
be
Tom,
in here a full-body massage for Tom Gatton.
Tom the Monster, he's naked with a towel on, everything included, glutes, feet.
Just like a regular body massage where he lies out on the table, we do the back, and we both agree we're not doing the front.
Correct. But
we're not going to do it, but he will lie on his stomach, I will work his neck, and his ankles.
And his glutes. And
his glutes.
Quads.
And I will get under the pits.
His feet. Oh. You said it, not me.
And his feet. And I was prepared after Friday night. I was feeling very depressed. But based on the turn of events this weekend, because the Red Sox did win two games in a row from the Yankees, and because I never say die, I am not prepared to concede the bet at this time.
Good for you, Mike.
Mathematically and statistically and historically, the Red Sox are not supposed to be able to catch the Yankees. But, you know, you've certainly got a, and not mathematically, actually they're in it mathematically. Historically, you know, they were giving all the stats about the Yankees when they're this far in advance. But you know what? Going into Saturday's game, they were given those statistics too, where the Yankees, with a two-run lead or a one-run lead going into the eighth inning, they were undefeated, and Mariano Rivera hadn't given up any home runs.
So right now,
they came back and they won with a walk-off home run at the last of the ninth inning in the Saturday game.
The way that we,
which I did not see at the stadium, I have to confess, I had left the stadium earlier due to an extreme case of festiveness. I was tired.
The games behind in our column right now for you and me on our show.
Nine and a half games.
July 26th, Monday, July 26th, which incidentally would be Tuesday, the 27th.
In the event that
you're listening to the show in Austin, Texas.
Right. In the event that the Red Sox caught the Yankees and they led by a half a game, I would still have to pay the bet off. I would do so gleefully if that happens. But I also, hold out the chance that I might concede early if things get out of touch, just to get rid of it and make sure it happened. But this is, I go to the game one time a year. I go to a game once a year up in Boston, and this
is my
weekend.
I was watching last night on ESPN.
I bought these tickets, I think, in February.
Saying it's the toughest ticket to find. They showed, like, Katie Couric, who looked like she couldn't care less that she was at a Red Sox game. But they were
Katie
saying,
Couric was just all over the place in, like, this pink wrap that she had on, this big pink, and she was just everywhere. I got these seats a long time ago, pulled a lot of strings to get these seats, and so I was in back of the Red Sox dugout. I was down probably, I would say, about 50 feet away from John Kerry when he came walking in. And the media, when they came in there, it was amazing. I mean, they were just, it was one of those scenes where you hear about paparazzi getting into fights and stuff.
Right.
They had to push them back. And again, this like press aide was down there saying, please get back, please get back. So, Don, it was electricity in the ballpark, but I wasn't feeling totally electric yesterday because I flew up on Saturday
right
to the big ball game and started
celebrating because I was so excited. It's like it's a weekend, but to me it was like, you know, like a two-week vacation. That's how excited I was when I...
you got to tell everybody, the plane ride up to Boston, Mike had a bottle of champagne and how many beers?
Two beers.
About
an hour flight.
Wow. It's like 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So when you arrived... When you arrived in Boston, it was already like St. Patrick's Day, right?
It was. It was great. And, you know, I had just enough time to check into the hotel and whisk over to the ballpark to go buy souvenirs. And, you know, lots of security. They had a different kind of... they had kind of a configuration there that was different where they checked your ticket like in this perimeter before you can... You know, normally you go into a ballpark and they check it at like a gate.
Well, it's obviously...
You might see that all the time. I don't know.
The whole thing with the Democratic Convention in Boston.
Security.
And the crazy security.
Well, I thought it was because I was coming to town that they were doing this big... But I got there and we were having serious good times.
So
I was talking to people.
So you brought your girlfriend, right?
Yes,
you and Carla and I.
Carla and I went up to Boston and it was... so much fun. You know that's like Christmas for me. When I get to see the Red Sox Yankees in Boston, I get to go back to England where I'm from. And I'm just, you know, everybody's my buddy. You know, we had lunch and in this bar right outside the, you know, the stadium. And I'm talking to this old guy who was talking about seeing Ted Williams. And I'm like, that's really great. That is really, really great. You're great. You're just great. And then, of course, I go to the game and I didn't focus like we would. As much time and effort I put into getting these tickets, I should have been a better fan on Saturday. But I'd unfortunately had a little too much day in advance of the game, and so I started to get angry. I almost got into an altercation with a guy when we sat down at the very first part of the game because I'm there and I get there once a year, okay. And when you're down close, these are great tickets. This is gold to me. This is the greatest thing.
Good seats.
These are the greatest tickets in the world. Yeah. I was so excited about it. I believe, and this is for any sporting event, and you tell me whether you disagree or not.
All right.
I know it's before the game, okay? But you know what?
What?
People that are in the first three rows, I think they, you know, I understand people come from other sections and stand up. But the people that have their tickets, sit down.
I agree.
Sit the hell down.
But here's the thing.
So right before they were going to take the field, I said down in front to these guys, and they got into my kitchen big time. The guy's like, I've been coming here, you know, Boston Rob in front of me says, I've been coming here 40 years. I'm like, well, you know what? I come once a year, and I'd like to be able to see, my girlfriend and I would like to be able to see the field just for, well, there, you don't know, that BS. And I said, don't say BS. And he, you know, and I wasn't going to go any further with it because he's got his kid there, and I wasn't going to lecture him on saying BS in front of his kid, which I thought was a pretty classless move anyway. Yeah. But at that very moment, when that happened, I looked down and looked at the ticket and realized I was in the wrong section. So we had to go like two sections over. It was very festive and
probably good.
I missed a lot of the game when I was there because I was between going to the restroom and going to get another beer.
And smoking
illegally.
Yes.
And they whisk you away. You go up into this little rampway and they whisk you away. And then everybody comes back and does it again and they whisk you away. And I got my third warning and was told, you're going to be thrown out of here. You're going to be thrown out of here if you smoke another... If you snuck another cigarette there. So they said, I mean, really, it was just because I had a couple of, you know, I always say it's the greatest fans in sports. And I had, you know, I just had a couple of runners.
Here's the thing with Mike. The stages of
Saturday was kind of a wasted day.
The seasons of a man's life.
Yeah.
In Mike's case, I know Mike well enough to know. Started early in the day, a little uptight about the flight.
Right.
Had a couple of pops on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Got there, had a couple more pops. And even though you're in the happiest place on earth.
Yes.
For in your money.
Right. You know me when I travel.
For your money.
I'm a little testy.
Yeah, but still, you're happy.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm really excited. And it means a lot to me to be there, and I want to see what's going on.
And then you've gotten to the point where...
Then I go beyond the point where I even care where I am. And it's just a party, and I'm loving everybody, and it's great.
And
so I missed the fight. I missed the fight between A-Rod and Jason Baratek, which was all over the news.
But God forbid that you're the one person, because Mike, when he drinks, is fantastic. He's more gregarious and outgoing than he is...
How are ya?
Yeah. But... God forbid that you're the person that gets in Mike's grill when you've had just one sip too much.
When the fatigue and everything combines, and if there's something that I find to be, how shall we say, unjust, I believe in championing a cause. It's what I believe in doing.
I believe it. I'm the champion.
You bring out
of
the guns.
People. I believe.
And I don't mean the guns that you strap into your holster. I mean the guns that are attached to your shoulders.
I believe that. But you know what? In that particular case, no, I wouldn't do that, no matter what situation, because there was a kid there, and I wouldn't do that. In fact, the one issue I had with the guy was that he was using language, and so I there's no win in that situation. So I was real quiet. Then we moved to the other section. But then it just became kind of crazy, and I think we left, to the best of my knowledge, we left the game somewhere between the sixth and the eighth inning.
Now, these are...
I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly when.
Buzz, I know you
I was frustrated because the Red Sox had given up a lead.
Right. I know you don't follow sports a lot.
Not much.
But I'll tell you, Red Sox, Yankees,
yes.
Especially now,
this I know.
This scenario, at Fenway Park at this time of the year.
Huge. Yeah.
Impossible.
I mean, really, you want to talk about a Super Bowl atmosphere, that's what it is.
With the convention up there.
Oh, yeah,
all those
convention.
And all those schmucks who would never normally, they're not like Mike Red Sox fans, and then, to the game.
That's right. The way I was treated, and I resented that because, you know, I'm a lot, you know that. I mean, that's all I care about in sports are the Red Sox. That's it. And so, left the game, went back to the hotel, watched the end of the game in the hotel. Carla.
That is a bad fan.
Well, I was angry, and I had that kind of defeatist because of Friday night, that bad attitude. But here's the thing. You know, I'm leaving, and I'm like, forget it. I'm going to go back. But as soon as I get to the hotel, I turn the game on, and they're losing, and I'm watching the game, and I watch the whole game. And the game was like 4 hours long, so I'm watching almost half the game, it seemed, in the hotel watching this. And I'm just sitting there accepting the fact that, you know, it's going to happen again, which is very normal for a Red Sox fan. You have that defeatist attitude, mm-hmm. and you're accepting it, but you're going to watch. It's a combination. It's not really. I don't even want to call it hope. You watch it because it's kind of like you want to just experience the negativity or the miracle that might happen if they happen to win the game. Well, what happens? They happen to win. Carla is completely sound asleep at this point, and as soon as they hit the walk-off home run, I go,
"Oh, yes, yes, yes! We gotta go out."
So we went out in Boston. I'm happy again. Saturday night. And that was a very short-lived
evening. They say, Tiger, that is classic Mike.
Yeah.
Where Mike is raved out at somebody, come back, called it an evening, and then suddenly something happens and it's, let's go out again.
I had to. And you know what? I was dog tired. I didn't, but I felt I had to. I felt that I had been a bad fan at the Saturday game. I had left early, and I felt that I owed it to the Red Sox Nation to go out on the town in Boston. But that didn't last very long because, frankly, we were completely tapped out. And so, after dinner, it was right back to the hotel. And then Sunday, then the whole day, because the game's not until 8 o'clock, got the whole day in Boston to bop around, go down to Faneuil Hall, go down to where the convention, you got all the conventioneers that are bopping around.
Right.
And then what I didn't expect, the added bonus, right after we ate lunch, we start walking around, and all of a sudden I said, what are we doing? We're going to get out. And this massive
it's the convention
protest.
People, right?
Now, most people might see this and say, hey, this is going to get hinky. Get out of here.
Right.
You know me. That's another thing with me. It's like, let's walk along with them. We walk along with the anti-war protesters that are up there. And, they've got anti-war protesters. They've got Haitian protesters. They've got gay and lesbian protesters. Sure. And then the entire protest parade, not only was it followed up by the most amazing show of law enforcement I've ever seen, but there's this one guy in a devil hat with like a devil mask, and he's got the fake butt cheeks, the plastic rubber butt cheeks, and we kind of followed him the whole way and hung out and
this is on the day after
day after. There was even I have my limitations, even though it was entertained for a brief moment. And then we both determined, no, this is impossible. Not after Saturday.
Here's what I do have to ask you. Because now I'm dying to know this answer.
Yes.
You told me in the office you wouldn't tell me until we got on the air.
Okay, I'm getting to that. We get to the game because we're at the game.
You're at the stadium
and
with
now,
celebrities.
You, just before I tell you this, I will tell you that I went to that game, and because of the bad fandom, I said, I'm staying for the entire game. And I will sit in that seat. And I sat in my seat, not moving, not getting anything vending, not going to the bathroom, not getting a beer. I got one Diet Coke from a vendor who handed it to me when I was in my seat. I stayed there for the entire
nine innings. And I was close to all
with
the fans. All the John Kerry stuff. And, you know, celebrities are running around. You got John Cusack. And John Kerry's like throwing baseballs to people. Half the people are booing him. Half the people are cheering him. Mm-hmm. You've got all these senators coming out. You got Tim Russert coming down. Then all of a sudden, Tom Brokaw walks down and he's shaking hands. And everybody's like, hey, like this. So halfway through the game, I'm sitting there and I'm saying, boy, this is, you know, this is great. Great seats. I mean, really, best seats I've ever had at a baseball game.
Just last night we're talking about. Last night in Boston.
Sunday night baseball. You know, it's a nationally televised game. It's so exciting. I am an absolute baseball heaven in my own way because I'm still, you know, as soon as they get close, I'd still go, you know, I'd still have my little meltdown.
Of course.
But halfway through the game, and, you know, I'm a Democrat, so I get excited about all the Democratic politics.
You're a Democrat.
I hear what's going
on.
Kerry. Kerry. And I'm like, yeah, they had kind of booed him and kind of cheered him at first. I mean, this is awesome. And people all of a sudden start erupting in this Kerry, Kerry, Kerry. And they're going nuts. I mean, and people, all of a sudden my whole section stands up and people go, hey, and they're all pointing. And I said, there's something, what's going on? I mean, is this some sort of Kerry sign? Or was it? And it becomes apparent to me. And because people have gone mental about this. Like they've got all these luminaries there, you would think. But it's not Kerry. It's
not John Kerry.
It's Jerry. No. They're yelling, Jerry, Jerry. And people go, there he is. There he is. He's over there. He's over there. There he is. Look at him. He's over there. He's coming through. And I'm like, who the hell is this God? Who is this Pope?
Yes. Who is it?
It's Jerry effing Springer.
Oh, no. Wow.
Jerry Springer stopped the baseball game. Jerry Springer, people went nuts. Turned away from the game, and it's like, look! There's one guy in front of me goes, look at that! That's Jerry Springer!
Springer was there?
Like, you would have thought? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, what is wrong with people?
Now, the stadium erupts at this point?
The stadium stopped! People turned with their backs to the field, didn't watch the last play of the game, because Jerry Springer is walking through the crowd, high-fiving people, signing autographs.
He's great.
There were movie stars at this game. There were TV news stars at this game. Springer!
Yeah.
Springer! Jerry Springer there!
Hold on, here's Mike. He's a guy in Maine. Jeff, you were there? Jeff, hey, Don and Mike show. Hello.
I was, and I am so bummed with all the beautiful people that I bumped into that I didn't bump into Mike.
Hey, I'm sorry I didn't see you there.
I would have. That was that atmosphere. That was my first Red Sox-Yankees game that I ever went to.
Did you witness the absolute incredible reaction that Jerry Springer got when he came
through? Yes, and I couldn't believe it. Because I was actually, I think I probably was a couple more sections up toward the foul pole
than
you. And I was blown away because we were getting ready to get on the T. And let me tell you, riding the T.
T is the, like the subway that they have.
And let me just say, that's better than the guess that I had. I didn't tell you this in the office. I thought it was going to be somebody dopey like Ben Affleck.
No.
Because Mike said...
This was, don't you think, lower-rent celebrity?
No, Mike said to me, you're not going to believe this. With all the people there, this is the one that they were chanting his name.
I got to ask this guy that was... When you heard this, didn't you think there was like either a fight or some incredible celebrity coming through the crowd?
I thought somebody was going after John Kerry.
That is exactly what I thought. Because there's, you know, Secret Service everywhere. But no. And all of a sudden, I mean, more than anybody, I guess John Cusack was there. You know, he's a movie star. Right. But no, people stopped.
Jerry! It's Jerry Springer!
Boston. And people, cameras going off, going, you know, that's great!
It was the most amazing atmosphere because people, like you said, Yankees and Red Sox fans, they were all drunk. They were all screaming at each other.
It's the drunkest bunch of fans I've ever seen. You know what? It was nice that I stayed sober on Sunday because I witnessed absolutely, I mean, everybody just going, that's great.
It was unbelievable.
And Springer made his walk of fame, like, right at the peak drunkdom of everybody that was at this game. It was amazing. I mean, it was the most amazing baseball game I've ever been in. Not because of the game, because, you know what? Frankly, the game was kind of boring because, the Red Sox scored a lot of runs and not a lot happened. But,
Jerry Springer!
And people with
Jerry
grins, dumb grins, like, oh my God, that's great. That guy over there, he's running for president, but there's Jerry Springer.
A real celebrity.
How are you, Jeff? We'll see you, my friend.
All right, see you later.
That guy does NBC Nightly News, but Springer's here.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Wow. Yeah, Katie Couric was definitely the...
kind of like the belle of the ball, looking super perky.
Yeah. You know, I go hot and cold on her, and I'm really going
you
colder
go
and colder.
And you get, because she's like, you know, she's at a different level now. Yeah, it's not just even the TV news star now. It's the kind of like I'm in the elite.
Mm.
You know, yeah. The elite, where the elite meet the Greek.
Screw her.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Me.
God! He made it up.
Buzz. I'm so retarded. I produce a comment, Buzz.
Yes, it is.
What is your lead story today?
Today, who will do the rougher stretch in prison, Saddam Hussein or Martha Stewart?
I don't care because it's not on Springer.
Springer.
I love Springer, man.
Springer.
I am a wicked retard. Spring is here. Hey, Ma, get her on the cell phone.
Stay tuned for news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very... I'm a retard.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Time to find out.
They always play the card card.
Yep.
Don and Mike.
Time for Buzz's new show now. Buzz brought to you tonight by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smoking. Break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smart Smoke Break. Revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. On tomorrow's episode, you know, we didn't even talk today about crazy Ricky Williams.
Ah, yes, leaving the NFL.
Tomorrow we'll have to talk about this. Not only the impact of the Miami Dolphins, but more importantly, guys like us in fantasy football.
Mm. Yes.
And what if you had Ricky Williams in a keeper league and you had decided to keep Ricky Williams?
Is our league a keeper league?
No, it's not.
All right.
And from what I can understand, Ricky Williams' main motivation for quitting was Ging.
Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, that he smokes a lot of pot, and that he had been busted a couple of times, like with the urine test, and he had been using a masking agent. Yeah. Oh, hold on. There you go.
This is good smoke.
So rather than earn his millions of dollars and just stop smoking pot for a while he plays football, he decided he would rather just smoke pot.
Well, hadn't he been traveling with Lenny Kravitz?
Yes, he had.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yes, he had.
How could he be better?
Couldn't be helped.
Got to go back, go to training camp, Nimon. I don't want to.
So so tomorrow, we're having on the show a guy from one of those fantasy football magazines that we always buy.
Right.
You know, with the cheat sheets and stuff. Because what guy out there is not getting into his league now and wondering about, you know, what you do about Ricky Williams?
Exactly.
Because one school of thought is that the only reason he's doing this is because of the pot. And if he gets down to it, he might just be suspended 4 games.
Right.
And they'll take away like $1 million. But there's a chance he could come back and play for the Dolphins.
Well, when he cleans it all out of his system.
You know, I don't know. My advice to him is do what I did. Just stop doing it.
Just stop.
Just knock it off. If it's going to screw with your job, just knock it off.
Yeah. Man, he's just having so much fun. He's got his money and, you know. Like, why, man? Why should anybody come back and, like, butt heads?
And also, I hadn't seen him since he'd shaved his head.
He shaved his head.
I mean, I'd gotten used to Ricky Williams with the dreads. That shaved head doesn't work for him.
No. You know, do you think at all that it has anything to do, seriously, with being a running back in the NFL and really what those guys go through? More than probably any other player. I mean, I know linemen have it rough physically.
No, I don't. I think he's.
But
just,
I mean, they really do get killed every week.
I think he's nutty. I think that he got. I mean, he's like squirrely. He got millions of dollars in his bad contract with the Saints. Still, he got like $10 million when he signed with them. He's made whatever $6-8 million with Miami.
Right.
If somebody gave you like $14 million and said, "Okay, now you don't have to work anymore," how many people really wouldn't say, "Well, if given the choice, I'd go to Asian smoke pot for today."
And Lenny said, "I'm cool."
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The problem this is it sets a bad example. I know that now there's a very big danger we're going to lose Joe.
He's going to leave. Anyway, tomorrow we'll talk about fantasy football and Ricky Williams with this guy from this magazine. And Robbie's working on something for the Wacky Story file tomorrow, right? Okay. And Buzz,
yes.
I had a game in mind for you today that we never got to, but perhaps we'll play it tomorrow.
I look forward to it.
Perhaps we will. And happy anniversary to Buzz.
Thank you.
Yes. He's made it through 29 years
That's
with
right.
Marcia.
Yeah, we have.
And we're going out tonight. We'll give you the full report tomorrow.
We'll
celebrate.
You guys
are going. You have a reservation at the Olive Garden, which is lovely.
We do.
We do. And Mike, don't goof on that, would you please?
But I'm sorry. I know you'll
don't forget. You never end on the bread.
Right. All the breadsticks you want.
And the
right.
salad.
Right.
Because when you're there, it's like you're with family.
Yeah.
It's even more exciting. Jerry Springer's at your table next door.
Really? Could you imagine that would be heaven?
Oh my Ma!
God. At the Olive Garden.
I'm at the Olive Garden. Jerry Springer's here.
It's Boston Rob.
How are you?
Hi, it's Amber.
I'm a wicked Todd.
Buzz?
Yes.
News and comments. Here we go.
Okay. Martha Stewart, as we've mentioned, will spend her days in prison doing what all the prisoners are required to do, work. For 12 cents an hour.
Work it, baby.
Oh, I thought they were required to do something else.
Well, yeah, work it, baby.
That's after work.
It's a good thing.
She'll probably get kitchen duty, and if so, that means getting up at 4 a.m. to work. Saddam Hussein, meanwhile, is in solitary confinement awaiting his trial for mass murder. And in his confinement, he enjoys gardening, reading poetry, and eating muffins and cookies.
All right, now he's in prison in Iraq.
That right. is a great blueberry.
These are a few of his favorite things.
Okay,
next gotcha. To being a fearsome dictator.
Oh, man, I am so depressed.
Why?
Could I have another cookie, please? Why am I making Saddam Hussein a Hindu?
Because we don't really know what they
don't know.
What
did
there we go.
Hello. Hello. This is Saddam Hussein.
Oh,
hello.
And wow.
Hey, don't F with me.
Oh, I'm so depressed about my recent circumstances, but that was a fine brand muffin.
Well, it's not all sweetness and light, however. Saddam is reportedly being treated...
Uday! Kuse! Oh, back to my garden where I will grow ging for Ricky Williams.
Saddam is reportedly being treated...
Hello, Ricky. This is Saddam. Listen, dude. Quit. Just walk away from it. Just quit. Look at me. I was in a hole when they found me, and now I'm enjoying blueberry muffins.
Would you tell Lenny Kravitz to send me another box of muffins, please?
Okay. It's not all muffins and gardening. Saddam's been diagnosed with high blood pressure.
Good.
And for that damned recurring prostate infection.
Oh, hey.
Oh, good.
Ricky, this is Saddam. The ape is in the enemy. Slow down.
Who am this?
Okay. He's Saddam Hussein.
This is Ricky Williams with my shaved head. Who is this?
Saddam Hussein.
Hey, man, you got my weed?
Hey, did you get this stuff?
Hello, this is Ricky Williams. Am Dave there?
I love that Cheech and Chong Dave.
Where's Dave?
Dave's not
got
here, man.
Stuff.
Where's Ricky Williams and Saddam Hussein looking for Dave?
Hello. Hey, hello there.
Oh, wait, one of my prison guards is coming. I have to eat the whole muffin now.
Well, here's another reason to believe that a vote for Nader is a vote for Bush. In Michigan, Ralph Nader needed 30,000 petition names to get on the ballot. He only had 5,400. So, 4,300 Republicans were happy to step up. Clearly, their thinking is every vote for Nader is one less vote for Kerry. That's why Democrats are trying to keep Nader off as many ballots as possible. They're challenging the extra names that put Nader on the ballot in Michigan. Nader himself could have rejected the donated list from Republicans, but he didn't.
You know, here's the thing about all this, and I've made it clear, for just for my two cents, I'm going to vote for Kerry.
Right.
I voted for Bush last time. Even with all the Michael Moore stuff and all the anti-Bush stuff,
mm-hmm.
I'm still getting a feeling, I'm getting a vibe, just from the regular, everyday people that I know,
right.
Not from watching TV or anything, but I think an awful lot of people are still going to vote for Bush.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right.
I mean, for a while I was thinking, it's a cakewalk. Everybody's so pissed at him, and no one knows what we're doing in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But more and more, I'm finding people like at this function that I was at Friday night.
Right.
Where I'm with people, let's face it, they got better table manners than me. They know what all the knives and forks are for.
Or as George Bush refers to them, his base.
Right. Yeah. They didn't have to rent tuxedos. They owned tuxedos.
Sure.
And they were all giving me the, you know, hey, listen, I'm going to vote for Bush. And then I would find someone who I would think would be like thinking but like myself, like, you know, a regular working guy. Now, you know, there but for the grace of God, you know, I'm very thankful that I make a good living, but certainly not to the level with these people that I was with at this party. Mm-hmm. And then I would meet someone who is a guy, one of the many cards I got was a guy who was like the night manager at this club.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me the card and said, anytime you guys want to come up here, that's great.
Right.
And said,
that's fine.
So he said, I've heard this stuff on the show. Who are you really going to vote for? I said, are you kidding me? I'm going to vote for Kerry. And the guy looked at me and said, man, I really liked the show when you talked about Bush, because I'm going for Bush all the way. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a guy. I can't figure this out. Yeah. I said, what's Bush doing for you? Right. And he said, well, here's how I look at it. I think in the war against terrorism, I'd rather have Bush than Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people brainwashed out there thinking even though Bush is a dope,
right,
that, you know, for whatever reason, he might be better against terrorism.
Yeah, I mean, you hear that. You hear that, the whole Texas tough thing. But you know what?
Why is it so close? How come it's not like 80% for Kerry, 20% for Bush?
And I was saying this. I might have been talking about this with Buzz. I think it might be, you know, you hear a lot about that. You hear about the closeness in the polls, but I think it might be, either way, I think it's going to be a surprise with the winner getting more votes than anybody would have expected. And I think it could go either way, and I think it could go either way till it comes right down to it. This whole business about most people are settled, and that's the big thing you hear right now, the voters are settled. They're, you know, the people that are going to vote for Bush are going to vote for Bush, the people are going to vote for Kerry. I disagree. I think something could go down in between now and the election where something significant could swing the election in a big way.
All I know is that this was a guy that I was meeting who I'm guessing is not financially set for life.
Right.
Made a point to tell me he has three jobs.
Right. Not a wealthy man.
To keep ends together.
Right.
Bush, I was trying to say to this guy, what will Bush do for you?
Right.
You know, Bush wants to give all the people in this room tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing the guy could come back with is, Bush will keep us safe.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
and I mean, what's the argument there? I mean,
so far so good.
You know, what am I supposed to? what am I supposed to say to the guy?
Don't you think, Mike? And you're probably the biggest political junkie of anyone in the room. The debates are going to be huge on this.
I think they're going to be huge, but I'll tell you, based on my experience last night at a baseball game in Boston, I think the average guy out there will probably be very happy that the networks are going to have an all-time low as far as television coverage.
And here's coverage. Here's the thing. You mentioned it. If we
political junkie's going to watch it on the network on the cable network.
If we had a real debate, and I don't mean this scripted where they both know the questions and they both have the
controlled.
Right. But if it was a real debate, and God forbid, but if it was with Jerry,
right,
or if you had somebody, you know, Jerry, Bob Eubanks, I don't care, a game show host, Pat Sajak, somebody in the middle who would just say, "Listen, no BS,
right?
Bush, Kerry. Lay it on the line. And don't give me a panel of Sam Donaldson and that big butthead,
tedious
Tim Russert. And
what I'm waiting for, and I think I'm like a lot of people that support Kerry, but are Democrats and would like to see, you know, something significant happen. Would like to see the stand-up and fight. I think what you're going to see in the conventions this week is you're going to see it's going to be, already the message is it's not going to be negative. It's going to be positive about John Kerry. But you know what? For somebody like me, I want to see the fight taken to the other side for a change. And I think if that happens in the debates right now, I think the debates are a wild card. You're probably right. But if it
does. Nobody's ever got the guts in these debates to stand up and say, really, like, wouldn't it be great for either one of them to attack the other to go, why don't we just get down to brass tacks? Should we be in Iraq or out of Iraq right now? Yes, no. How do we get out?
Here's what I think. You hear a lot of people in the country talking about the fact that we don't know who John Kerry really is. And I do believe, from everything that I've read about the guy, that if we, I don't care what the format is, what the forum is for the debate, my prediction is, you're going to see something that you didn't see with the last election. I really believe that. That's this guy's track record. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
I got two gut feelings. One gut feeling is the dummy's going to win again.
Mm-hmm.
I just get that feeling.
I can see why you feel that way
now. And the other feeling I get is the opposite way. That I think there may be people who think that he cheated to win the other election.
And that is a huge issue. And I don't think
factor.
You don't hear that a lot, and I really think a lot of people feel that way.
There's a lot of people who think he cheated who would say, I'm going to register and vote this time
right,
just because I think Bush cheated last
time.
Right.
Well, you know, you see those "Don't Blame Me" bumper stickers
right.
all the time.
Right.
The one that I brought back from my boss is "Don't Blame Me." I voted for the guy that got the most votes, which I thought is funny. You see that?
Nader is definitely a factor, and now Republicans are collecting names on petitions to get Nader on ballots. And of course, we had that earlier report that many of the big donations to Nader's campaign have come from Republicans.
And I hate to say this about all the people that may be sincere about some of the issues that Ralph Nader has.
Yes.
But it seems to me that it's just like, we just want to be different.
Yeah.
And,
there's a lot of that.
Listen, if you're really talking about political change, come on.
This is like the NFL saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have the Super Bowl tournament. We're going to have Oakland, or whoever the great... Who played last year in the Super Bowl?
Wasn't it Oakland?
No, it was. It was 2 years ago. It was Tampa Bay. Who won last? New England.
Mm-hmm.
New England
won. Yeah, Belichick was at the game last night, too.
So whoever New England played last year...
Bigger applause than Jerry Springer from Belichick. He was the only one.
All right, let's say we're going to have the New England Patriots, the Dallas Cowboys. We're also going to have the Green Bay Packers, and... We're going to invite the Arizona Cardinals to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, it's like you've got the election with these two guys. Right. You've got one guy that's got no chance to win, just a chance to screw the election up.
Right, which he did, which they say he did in the last election.
Why don't we just say, listen, Nader doesn't have a chance to win. It's America. Simple. Your name's not going on the ballot, pal.
Yeah.
It's just not going on.
Now, there you go again. You want that dictatorship, don't you?
Oh, do I?
If you're kidding.
You know, it's like... What they're doing is they're saying, here are your cars you can choose from. A Maserati,
right.
A Porsche,
mm-hmm.
and take a look at this Buick. Okay, now listen. You're going to say, what the hell?
About 6% of the people will go for the Buick.
Right, and those six people shouldn't be allowed to drive.
Right.
Okay, just like those six people shouldn't be allowed to vote.
I think you might see some surprise. I really do. Between now and the election, a lot's going to happen, and you might see a surprise.
If I could just, one more thing on this, and I... God, I shouldn't talk about politics. I don't know about as much as you do. Just keep it more interesting, because I'm bored already.
Oh, amen.
I'm bored already.
And I'm tired of the guys that are doing the coverage, because I do like this stuff. I'm tired of them telling me that I'm going to be bored. Okay? If you're setting that up, well, maybe it is going to be boring. You know?
We need more internet cartoons.
yes,
that
we do.
One link was funny.
Oh, that's
funny.
That great. Send that to me again, please.
Yeah. Oh, you got it.
I couldn't download
this
it.
This Land is Your Land with Bush and Kerry.
Yes, that is a great link.
Jib Jab, I think, is the name of the group that did the comedy, the cartoon.
The possible next first lady, this is interesting, the possible next first lady told a reporter to shove it yesterday.
This is good.
Good heavens.
This
no.
is good.
And it's even better if you have seen the video.
I have not.
Yes. Oh. I saw it courtesy of WTAE
yes.
in Pittsburgh.
Right. I watched this woman like a hawk last night at the game, and this is the wild card right here. She does her own thing.
Doesn't fit the mold.
I love it, because, aren't we tired of the whole,
Did you say something else about her?
Yeah.
Just as sexy as... I mean, for those of you who have ever fantasized about being with Mavis Leno, let me say, if you got Teresa Hines Carey, a mustache,
right.
I'm telling you, you could line her up and say, which one is married to Jay Leno?
You know, in this country, who knows how that's going to be received, their relationship. But watching them last night, they have an interesting relationship together. It's not like the traditional... stuff. I mean,
no.
It looks like she was leaving the game earlier than he left last night, and I was just watching them because they were sitting there talking, and they almost tuned everybody else out, and they're having a conversation, and it looked as though, really, like, two things. Like I really do think that that they have a pretty good relationship, but also I think that she doesn't, you know, I mean, she's similar to the relationship you have with your wife.
Yeah, I was going to say,
if he messes up, I think she's going to tell him.
I think he's whipped just like me.
It seemed to be that way.
But it's okay if you're whipped because you're with a smarter woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that, but then you have to realize that you bring something to the relationship as well.
That's right. I love her saying this to a reporter, though.
Yeah, Teresa Hines Carey was talking to people from her state, Pennsylvania, who will be delegates at this week's Democratic convention. She told them, quote, "We need to turn back some of the creeping, un-Pennsylvanian, and sometimes un-American traits that are coming into some of our politics." That quote is on tape. A few minutes later, a reporter for a conservative Pittsburgh paper asked what she meant by un-American, and she told him, "I didn't say that. You said something I didn't say. Now shove it." Shut up! After Vice President Dick Cheney used the F-word recently,
shut up!
He commented later, "I felt better after I said it."
I did. Yeah, we have to break. We have about 15 seconds. You want? We have. We, you know, we should not talk about politics.
Yes, it gets people riled up.
I know. That's, then it turns like into a real radio show. Yeah. Hello, Bill.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Okay.
Now, the only comment I have about this whole thing is that if Kerry gets elected and the Democratic Party puts the economic strategy in place,
bye-bye. Whatever.
Hello, Tom.
Yeah.
Tom.
Hey. Yeah.
What?
Oh, hey, you know, you guys seem like bright guys. I can't figure out all the energy you put into telling us who you're going to vote for and all that when it just doesn't matter. I mean, with the Electoral College system, it just... It doesn't matter.
Listen,
I couldn't disagree with you more on that.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's
a
wrong.
Stupid thing to say. Because you know what? I think that last election proved above all else that it does matter.
Yep. Don and Mike, hello.
Everybody.
Hey, Mike, I got a bumper sticker for you I saw this weekend. It said, Kerry Edwards, when you're this full of crap, you need two Johns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, my friend. Everybody else call Rush Limbaugh, and we'll continue to talk about
it. It's like the one I have on my car, okay?
Within the news.
Yeah, like father, like son. One term.
And that sticker he talked about has a picture of Jerry Springer on it.
Hey, Ma! It's Springer! Hello, Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
With them putting Nader back in like that with the stupid thing, it's like those cast-offs on those reality shows. It's a bad comedian coming.
Oh, now, hold on. I want to tell you, now that's funny,
good.
Honey.
That's we're bringing good. Back Jenna.
That's pretty good. That's
pretty good.
Okay, you get a prize.
Yay.
Hold on and talk to Beth Ann. We're going to give you the Donna. Well, now, it says Donna Mike Show prize pack, swag beyond your wildest dreams.
Well, there you go.
Which means to me, crap.
Our best stuff.
a bag of crap that says Don and Mike on it. But either way, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Very good crap.
And that's enough with the political stuff. Buzz, what's next? Unless it's political.
No, and it's not. We'll tell you where we've left off with the Jeopardy champ.
Oh, that guy, right, because Friday was his last night.
Right. He's going to be on Springer.
Springer, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Forget it. I'm halfway home.
Forget it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Forget it.
Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Don't pull your love out on me, baby.
Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds. Dunhill Records, ABC Dunhill, 1971.
What color was the label?
Black.
Yeah.
Don't pull your love out on me, baby. Baby, don't pull out. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A couple of late news notes.
Pull out of Iraq, not out of anywhere else.
Right. A 14-year-old boy holding a bag of fish was bitten by a shark off the coast of Texas. He's being treated at a Houston hospital for injuries to his arm and leg. It's the 14th shark attack in U.S. waters this year. Also today, a webworm invaded Google. It was down for a good part of the day. It's back up again, just so you'll know.
Webworm.
Now about Ken Jennings, no boating accident.
I don't want that Kittner boy spilling all over the top.
Google.
Ken Jennings will still be the reigning Jeopardy champ when the show returns in September.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. He's won again. It was exciting on Friday night, Buzz.
Yes.
Oh, man, it was exciting.
That was the day he finally broke the one-day winning record, racked up another $75,000 on Friday when he won his 38th straight game.
38 in a row, Alex.
There you go, Trebek.
What is undefeated?
He's now made over $1.3 million. The Salt Lake Citizen says he'll give 10% of his winnings to the Mormon Church. The ratings for Jeopardy have increased by half during his stay on the show.
That's a good Mormon.
Show returns on September 6th.
Oh, now, at Salt Lake. I know we're on at Salt
right,
Lake.
Right,
K-A-L-L out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to bring the show down.
Oh, okay.
But that's nutty that you've got like that Scott Peterson thing happening out there in Salt Lake City. That there's a woman that's just disappeared, and shock, her husband went to a mattress store. Bought a new mattress where they had like a knife, and they found the, like her blood and her hair, and it reminds me of a. Anyway, it's
a mattress at my house.
And it's nutty. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's bad, and it's bad that it's getting play around the country. Like, oh look, here's another Scott Peterson guy.
Right.
Here's just another guy that we think, oh yeah, maybe killed his wife and threw in a mattress and got rid of her. And
yeah, I think we're desensitized to these stories.
God.
Stuff can happen anywhere. There's a cannibal in Kansas City. You know,
it could
happen in your town.
Really?
Now, are you making that up?
No, it's true.
Really,
there's a guy on trial for, you know, eating a teenager.
Well, maybe the teenager just wouldn't listen.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Jesus.
Anyway, our long national nightmare is over. Mary Kate is out of rehab.
Oh.
Bravo. That's right, baby.
Bravo.
That's right, fish face.
Mary Kate of the Olsen Twins.
She looks like that bass thing that used to sing, that Billy Bass thing.
Yeah, Happy Bass. Yeah. Oh, no, Billy Bass.
It was Billy Bass.
Billy Bass.
Way down upon the Swanee River.
I was Happy Bass.
No relation to Marty.
Did you know that?
I did not know you were Happy Bass.
I was Happy Bass, the official spokesbass for Lake Anna.
Oh, I forgot that. That's right.
43 miles of crystal clear shoreline.
And you were a tomato once.
Yes, I was. Yeah. I've been a whore
Shoppers
for a long time.
Shoppers Food Warehouse.
Yeah. I've been a whore for a long, long time. But they actually gave me a stuffed bass.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you'll always have that.
I think I just stopped the show.
That's okay. Mary Kate of the Olsen Twins checked into rehab 6 weeks ago for a health problem that was explained as an eating disorder. Mm. Other reports said the visit was to kick an appetite-killing drug habit. If she makes it through the 6 weeks after rehab, she'll be ready to start school at NYU and appear on the upcoming Full House reunion. So there's that.
Hello! This is Enrique Williams. Mary Kate, where can I get some weed? I just quit my job with the Miami Dolphins.
Now, remember how you felt when you drank some milk that was past its prime? Imagine how Russell Long of Norfolk, Virginia felt when he drank his milk at Denny's and discovered maggots in it.
Oh!
Well, that's his story behind a million-dollar lawsuit in federal court.
We have so many maggots. We have so many maggots. We have so many maggots on the line.
Who's on the floor? This is why I don't like soup with rice.
It's the all-new Greeks Man Show in Maggotry.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike. A stellar job today, I might add.
Maggots.
Russell says he is still a mess, psychologically speaking. He says he still cannot enjoy his meals and never at restaurants. Don't even mention milk to him. Denny's denies any responsibility in this incident 2 years ago and says it must have been the milk supplier. Denny says it will defend itself vigorously. Still, they served the maggoty milk, according to Russell's lawyer, and therefore, Denny should pay.
Well, I want to tell you something, that I have a relationship with the namesake. I was talking to Mr. Terrio.
Oh, yes.
Terrio.
How is he?
How is Merv?
Denny would know. In Raleigh, North Carolina, a dentist has his license back, even though he's been accused of injecting some of his patients with his semen.
Buzz. Dangerous buzz.
I'll be very, very careful here, but people need to know this. This dentist's own employees were suspicious of his behavior, so they collected some syringes, and his DNA was found in five of them.
Oh, my.
Ew.
A half dozen patients have complained. They say whatever it was, it tasted awful. The dentist has gotten his license back for now, with the provision he's always chaperoned and take a lie detector test every 6 months. He may also have to get counseling for his sex jokes with the patients and his over familiarity with them.
Hey, I grew another tooth.
That's very good. Now, don't spit.
Winner. He got his license back after a shrink testified. She doesn't think that the dentist has any real mental problems.
Here we go. Hold on. And now a message for that dentist.
If you're curious or confused, get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
Yeah, but not a dentist.
In sports, can you imagine this happening in the NFL? Here's your penalty. At a soccer game in South Africa, a referee didn't like it when one of the coaches questioned his call, so the ref pulled out a pistol, not a starter pistol, and shot the coach to death. Word is, police will soon arrest the ref. Soon, they'll arrest him.
We'll get to it when we come.
Well, they're very, very busy. South Africa has a murder rate 8 times higher than even the United States.
We will arrest him, but first finish our muffin.
And finally, all weekend long, I saw people swimming, says one woman. The place is Edgewater, Maryland, where you probably shouldn't go any further than the edge.
Oh, man, I've been there.
The people who swam in Edgewater Creek over the weekend apparently didn't know about the 99,000 gallons of raw sewage that had been accidentally dumped into the creek by a broken pumping station. No public official informed the locals about the spill, so the citizens went swimming and boating in the sewage. Now signs will be posted, quoting one Maryland official, "We want to do better next time." I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike
Show.
Thank you,
Buzz.
I remember what I say with raw sewage.
What's that? So,
next time, cook it.
Yeah. Cook all the germs out.
That's right. That's it. We got to go. Our thanks to Tammy Nakura. Nakamura. Tammy Nakamura from the Fox show Trading Spouses. And also, baby, Lisa Joyner from KCBS Television Los Angeles.
She likes you.
Me like her, too.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday. Happy anniversary to Buzz and Marsha.
Happy anniversary, Buzz.
Thanks, guys. Happy anniversary. And why do you have your sunglasses on?
Because I'm just being goofy.
Washington, D.C., Tampa Bay, and Baltimore. Stand by for the best nighttime radio show in America, the Ron and Fez Show.
Right.
Following us next, a good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Good day to you, sir. You look like one of our old, like circa 1985 publicity photos.
Just give me a rubber chicken.
Cool. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. And you.
Shout out to the Biggins.
The Biggins. You got the fish memory, Rob.
The Biggins.
The Biggins from the trading whatever show.
Clean your plate.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind. Be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is the Don and Mike Show.